Hi, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Monday night's National Liberty Alliance call. Today is Monday, June 9th, 2014. We're going to start off, take a look at a few Bible verses, but we're going to look into the Law Dictionary. We're going to look into Black's Law Dictionary first, and we're going to also going to look into Bouvier's Law Dictionary, and then refer to a few Bible quotes. You know, the word justice is of virtue. You cannot have one without the other. You must have them both in order for things to work. In other words, justice is not possible without virtue. And Black's Law says that judges ought to be more learned than witty, more reverend than plausible, and more advised than confident. Above all things, integrity is their position and a proper virtue. If we don't have virtuous judges, then obviously we have a serious problem. And of course, here in America, we have a serious problem. I have yet to find to meet a virtuous judge. I have not met one yet. In Mark chapter 5, we read of a story concerning virtue, verses 25 to 34. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who toucheth me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Now, one other verse, I think it's just one verse, it's Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, that is the description of virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, of course, you know, we know in our courts we have a problem. Clearly, they are not honest courts. They are not just courts. Clearly, they are not pure. They are not lovely, and there is no good report in them at all. There is no virtue in our courts. And this is what we must do to return justice. We have to return virtue. And again, virtue comes from God. It comes from no place else. It ultimately is a gift. Our founding fathers in the Constitution, in the preamble, made that point very clear when they put together the Constitution, and they started off in the preamble and made the purpose of government is for the protection of the blessings of liberty. They understood that liberty was a blessing. So the point that we're trying to make here is primary foundation of what we teach here at National Liberty Alliance, is that we have to have a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. And without those things, we cannot have virtue. Without those things, we cannot have justice. So, of course, the first order of business, and we've talked about this since day one, and we bring it up from time to time, is people need to work their problems out with God. We all have to go into our own prayer closets and talk to God and figure things out. Because only if we straighten our lives out and do the right thing and start acting properly, we have to come into this thing without a vengeance. I mean, you know, I look to see all of the horrible things going on. and I mean, there are some horrible, horrible things. And yet we still have to have that sense of justice. We have to have that sense of mercy. We have to come into this thing without a vengeance. We're not on a witch hunt. We're here to do justice. And if we're here for any other purpose other than to do justice, and that's all we really need is justice, if we're here for any other purpose, we're going to be cursed instead of blessed. So the first order of business is to get your house in order. And I speak to myself first. And we have to find mercy in the eyes of God, find grace. And we have to work things out and walk as virtuous as we possibly can. These things grow from ultimately a relationship with God and a desire for truth and justice. So that's what we're here about, is really to bring this back into the courts. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, and I should look this up because I bring this up from time to time, and hopefully I'll make a note of that. I'm pretty sure it was Franklin, though. He said that men will be ruled by tyrants or God. There is no other choice, and he's absolutely correct. You know, if we're going to follow the laws of men, then look what has happened to us. We're going to be ruled by tyrants. We have laws of men, and we are bombarded with those laws all day long, and it's nothing but tyrants. But only you can only have peace and true justice and mercy if you're ruled over by God. That means your heart has to be ruled over by God in order that you can bring forth the right thing. And that's why we talk about these principles as often as possible. And I really hope that people, when they get together, bring these principles up. They should lead off with these principles in their groups, a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. And we should never let that go. And 5 years from now, by God's will, if we get into the system and bring justice back into the United States, into America again, if that is God's will and he blesses us with that, I hope 5 years down the road we're still talking about justice and honor and mercy. In 20 years and 100 years and whatever, you know, you get the point. Because if we don't continue talking about these things, we're going to lose them. You know, we have to constantly remind ourselves and remind each other. So, all right, I'm not going to go into too much. Well, matter of fact, what we're going to do is go right into trying to work out organizing. We are at a point in time, we have 14 states. So I'd like to welcome aboard tonight. West Virginia came on board on 5-5-24. I mean, 5-5-14. And we have other states that are ready to break again. You know, there's at least two or three other states that I'm aware of, but I do know that there's a lot of activity going on out there. I heard some people talking about that we have some attrition going on, and that's been constant since the beginning, time to time. Sometimes I get a call from people in a panic to remove their name because they've come to realize and understand what we're really doing is we're coming in to take down the New World Order, and they went into a state of fear. And so they wanted their main name removed. They didn't want anyone to see that. They you know, they just got frightened. Something happened. And, you know, just recently I read something on a website by an individual who was on our program last Monday. And also I spoke to him on the phone for quite some time on a personal call and also exchanged email. He exchanged emails with me. He has such long emails. I can't possibly find the time to answer them. But then started posting things in different places. I heard that he posted some stuff on our meetup group. I haven't seen that yet. I haven't had time to get out to look for that. But I did read something on a website. And then I heard people commenting on it. And, you know, one thing leads to another and to another. And there's nothing more frightening than ignorance in action. And that's exactly what started to really boil, at least a little bit. Although there were some people on there, and I didn't read through all of it, so I don't know how many people were pro or against what we are doing here at National Liberty Alliance. But we did have some people that came to our defense and made some very good points and so on and so forth. But, of course, you have the negative people, and it's the negative that seems to come up a lot quicker than the positive, and that's what moves through, through the world a lot quicker is negative things. So sometimes maybe negative things are good. You know, maybe it gets their attention towards us. But immediately I saw it brought up that, oh, these people are going to go to jail, and they're going to get themselves in trouble. They don't understand, and this, that, and the other thing. Well, I beg to differ with them. I think if we were going to go to jail, we would have been there already. You know, we've been investigated by the FBI numerous times, Homeland Security, and also what's the other one, Gerard? You here? Anyway, they've come out after us, and they've left us immediately. The day they came out is the day they closed the case and walked away, because they understood what we were doing. As soon as we showed them, they understood. So they took a look and realized, wait a second here, you know, they can't make a decision here. You know, and the fact that these people are silent, and when I say these people, I'm talking about the judges, means that they're worried. They don't know what to do. At first, they came out to assault us. They thought they were going to be able to get away with it, but they found that their words are dead words. They have no meat in them, no power, nothing. Not compared to the words that we have found, the words of our founding fathers, and the words of our Heavenly Father, the words of the United States Supreme Court, the Constitutions, the Declaration of Independence, you know, tremendous amounts of work that we have found over the years, and they can't stand up to that, so they just stopped talking. And good for them, because, you know, all they did is put their foot in the mouth. So I don't have any fear of those things. We are perfectly legal in everything we're doing. We also don't reveal names to people. And whenever we do papers, they have no idea who met, because, you know, grand juries and even trial juries are anonymous. Nobody has to know who they are. And maybe the foreman might reveal themselves, you know, unfortunately, the courts already know when people are coming through as a grand jury or trial jury, because they choose them and pull them in. They shouldn't know that, especially not in this environment, because it's too dangerous for people. With us, they don't know, and they should never know. You know, this is a point that was made out very clearly in the Magna Carta. This has got to be anonymous. These are the people, and it's different people rising up as we move along, and that's what this whole process is. It is the people. It's the business of the people, and we need to rule. And when people are in power, especially in today's environment, they will take advantage of that, and they will try to hurt us or do something. So we don't have the names out there. The signatures of some of the papers that we have going out are usually by people whose signature can't read, and we're certainly not going to print their name, but they're bona fide, and they can be seen that we are in many geographical areas, especially with what some of the things we're going to start doing now. And they can see that... you know, we're all over the place, and it's a lot of people.
Can you hear me, John?
I can hear you now. I hear you breathing a little bit from time to time.
Yeah, I'm on both. I don't know if that's proper. I'm on the site, and I'm on the control panel, so maybe it's a problem. I don't know.
No, because you don't come through the control panel, but it does sound like there's a problem with your mic or something. A little bit of a grumbling from time to time. Anyway, see how it goes. You called in off of Skype, though, right?
No, I called in off of the site.
Okay, you might want to call in off. Once you go, you might want to come call in off of the Skype.
So. Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think I can't do that.
I think so too. Yep, and you can mute yourself on Skype then. All right. Anyway, let me see where we're at here. We don't have time to fear. That's the bottom line. Anybody that's getting into a fear mode now, they haven't seen fear yet. Because if we don't succeed at what we're doing, we're Nazi Germany, 1938. They're coming out. Okay? And unless we suppress that and stop that, then people are going to know what fear is. Okay? Now is the time to speak up while we still can, and they're still vulnerable. You know, again, we have a chance to take these courts back, and if we take the courts back, we stop the New World Order in its tracks. They can't do this without the court system. The whole process of their incarceration of us is their incarceration by statutes. That's how they incarcerate us. They just make more rules. They make more statutes. You can't have a gun. You can't have bullets. You know, I just went out to try to buy some ammo online. And, you know, you get a lot cheaper online. You buy 1,000 rounds at a time, and you can get it for a very good price. But they don't sell it to people in New York. Okay, I have to have it sent to a licensed dealer. Okay, and and they go through all this information that I have to have on me, and then it's got to go through them, and they got to know. The government wants to know how many bullets I have. That's how bad it's gotten in New York. Well, I'm thinking of other ways to do things. So, but the bottom line is, this is how bad it has come. And but look at this is by statutes. They're able to achieve, and the police forces would no doubt will arrest us under these statutes. And most sheriffs, no doubt, will arrest us under these statutes. And all of the courts, no doubt, will convict us under these statutes. So we're imprisoned. But when you remove that and you make it a crime for the people, for this repugnant legislature, repugnant to the Constitution, when that becomes a problem and a crime, and therefore anybody who enforces these laws are susceptible to collateral damage, in other words, a lawsuit filed by anyone who is one of the people or sovereign, okay? Now, you have a whole new story here. When the judges realize they can't convict on this because the common law has returned, it's going to be a complete turnaround. They have no control. They've lost control. That's how important this is. This is why we must move, and now is the time to move. We're in the federal courts, and in these federal courts, we're moving towards an indictment on this federal judge. We've been going back and forth on where to go, and I realized, wait a second, we can't keep giving these people more and more mercy. We've given them enough. This guy, if he hasn't read the papers and he hasn't figured it out, and he's guilty of sin, because what has he done? We wrote a paper, and he sends it back. Well, he hasn't sent the papers back. He knows better than that. But they say, well, you know, we're going to give you 30 days to give us the $400. Like, we have to pay them $400 to report a crime. Are they insane? The federal courts should understand this. We moved it into the federal courts because we moved it into the court system in the state for the sole purpose of putting it into the file in the courts. We couldn't get it in because they kept removing it, and they wouldn't record it. So that's why we opened a case, an index number, for the sole purpose of filing this paperwork. And they removed it from there. They rejected it. They sent it back. And we finally got it into one of the counties. And of course, the county, you know, the county clerk there understood the law enough that he wasn't going to send it back. And I know he was put under pressure. There's no doubt because, you know, the county attorney, well, prosecutor, I guess. Is that what she was, a prosecutor, Gerard? Or just the county? I guess the prosecutor. In Green, yeah. Yeah, she came out, and she was the one that had
attorney.
To say.
She's the county attorney.
The county attorney. Okay, they had to have the county attorney come out to start talking and rejecting. But they didn't reject any of our paperwork, and no matter what we sent in, they took in. But she started to intercept that paperwork. So more crime has taken place. As a matter of fact, at some point we need to deal with that woman. At bare minimum, she needs to leave her job. She needs to be fired. But maybe she needs to be indicted too. But we're not here about indictments. We're here about trying to get into power. And if we have to indict in order to anyone that gets in our way of that, then that's what we're going to do. So we moved into the federal courts. Now, the federal courts should have understood. We made it very, very clear what we're doing. There's no way that this guy does not understand what we have done in our paperwork. It's beyond me that it's even possible, unless he's that ignorant and just hasn't read. But I haven't heard of a federal judge here that doesn't read. So, but whatever it is, first of all, he turned us. We called ourselves a tribunal, and he wrote back and took our paperwork and replaced it with the word of plaintiff. Wait a second here. We're not a plaintiff. We're the tribunal. We're not suing anybody. We're charging people. You can go read all our papers. You'll see, you know, we, the people, made a court of record, and in this court of record, we are charging. We're not suing. We're charging people with crimes. We're putting in bills of information and true bills. And this is the process. And this is what we're going to do. And I realize now, you see, this is going to be a great test on the federal court. We have got to indict this judge. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so we're only going to be on for about 20 minutes or a half hour, anybody that wants to come in to make a vote for the point nationwide for an indictment on this federal judge, should be here tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in the same place, right here. And we're not going to, it's not going to be long. We've got to keep it short. We're just coming in for a vote, and if people want to dissent, they can dissent, and we'll hear them out a bit, and then we're going to move on, but we're going to take a vote. And the vote is going to be, should we indict or not indict? And I got to believe we're going to indict. This will be one of the most powerful things I think we could do right now. I realize this, because now we're going to test the federal system. The federal system knows it. This woman, when I went to file the papers up in Albany, she understood she had to take these papers. They tried to bring us into a different jurisdiction. Oh, well, you know, you got to pay the $400, and well, the people don't pay money. We're not corporations. She didn't say much about that, and she says, okay, you know, and she started doing a little paperwork, and she says, well, okay, now you're going to have to fill out a form. I said, the people don't fill out forms. We just filed our papers. That's our papers. Here's our file on demand, and I gave it to her. And she says, oh, okay, and she took it and filed it, and that was that, okay? So the judge now, of course, you know, he has no way to throw us out of the court. He doesn't want to hear this case. The judge that was given to this case, given to recuse themselves, so they're not here. And I believe this is the chief judge of the federal this federal district. At least that's what I've been told. So he himself has taken this case on, I think, because nobody else wants it. He doesn't want it, but someone's got to do it. So at least biting more time, we'll just kick this out for not having the $400. We'll change the jurisdiction, see if they see that, see if they pick up on this, and so on and so forth. But, of course, we did pick up on that. We did correct that. We did give him write him a writ of error. We overturned. We rescinded his decision. We overturned it. And we gave him his final order. I don't think we're going to give him another one. Matter of fact, we're not. We're not going to give him another one. We either indict or we don't. Now, here's the beauty of this thing, and I realize this now. I didn't even think about indicting in the federal courts. At first, I figured we indict, we file it into the paperwork, into the court case, and say, wait a second, which really is just a movement of the court from the state into the federal. And I'm thinking, wait, we will file it as a regular a true bill. We will file it with the clerk, and let's see what they do with it. We may follow up later on and file it into the case, but that's irrelevant. We want to file it with the clerk. But then in the case, we will add a copy of that, and as we write a paper, and demand that a new magistrate that's going to obey the will of the people be put in place, and let's move on. Okay? So that's the next step. And it's interesting to see what they're going to do with that. I'm going to go further, and I'm going to tell you what our next steps are after this. We've got a list of 151, I believe it is, federal judges in New York State. If this indictment does not go through and process does not start to move through the federal courts and then the demand into the state courts, if it doesn't start moving within a week or so, well, it's going to depends on how long it's going to take to get the paperwork together. And then we'll have to give it at least a week. So if it takes a week to get the paperwork and we give it a week, it'll be 2 weeks before we move to the next step. And again, it could be more, it could be less. It depends on everyone else. It depends on how fast we, the people, can move. And it depends on what the court does and how fast they do it. But we're not gonna wait for their answer. We're going to give them hours. We're going to give them 48 hours. You know, we're calling the police department. There's a criminal with a gun in my house. He's coming upstairs. I'm hiding in the closet. I have my children with me. Help. I'm going to wait 3 weeks for that? No, that's where we're at. This is where we're at. We're about to lose our country. We're about to lose everything. Those that are in the know understand that there's a good chance. Well, the focus right now is on July 2014. Let me repeat that. July 2014. That's 2-3 weeks away. I don't know whether it's I heard the 1st, I heard the 15th. I really don't care which. The point is July 2014. Now, that doesn't mean that anything's going to happen in July of 2014. But that's the focus. We do know that. They've been moving that date for a couple of years now, and I've been watching it move. And we know what they lack. They're only going to be able to go so far before even if they're not ready, they're just going to pull the plug, because if not, they know they're going to at some point start losing control. They're very close to realizing that. So, you know, what happens when you get a rat in the corner, you know? That could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. But definitely be a good thing if they're not ready. But it's a bad thing in the fact that they're going to pull that plug. We need to stop them from pulling that plug. And only we, the people, can do that. And I can assure you, there is no other movement out there. There is no other group. There is no other organization. There is no other plan other than what we have right here. This is it. There's nothing else. if there is anything else, then when we get into the next part of the session and we start talking, maybe people can tell us about it and we could do that too. But I'm not aware of anything. And I've been looking at this problem for a long time. I get calls from people, you know, all the time, all day long, all night long. And, of course, here on Monday nights, and nobody's come up with not anything near what we're doing. This is the only way. It's grassroots. It's people-controlled. And it's the right thing to do. And it's the proper thing to do. It's the godly thing to do. And we're depending on God to win this battle for us, because we ourselves will never be able to win this. Only if the people stand up with the truth in their hearts and the blessings of God will we win this thing. So that's the message. And that's why we bring Bible verses at the beginning of these programs now, because it's important that we recognize where justice comes from, where blessings of liberty comes from, what liberty is. But anyway, we have to move forward. So we're going to file this paperwork, and then if that doesn't go forward properly, we're going to give them ours. Then we're going to go after the 151 federal judges. We're going to report a crime to all 151 judges, just like we did in New York State. We reported a crime to all 300 or so judges across the New York State elected. Okay? And so we're going to do the same thing with the feds. And what happened in New York? They indicted themselves. We made that point in the paper. We didn't go out and make an indictment on all those people, but they indicted themselves. They had a duty to speak, a duty to act, a duty to respond, and they did nothing, absolutely nothing. Now we're going to bring it to the feds. They have a duty to respond, a duty to speak, a duty to act, a duty to stop the assault upon the people, the crimes that are being committed. They're laid before their feet plainly. They have a duty to do this. Let's see what happens. And when we do this, we want to do this with all of the states that have constituted. Any state that is close to being constituted, you need to go out and get your unified seals now. And any state that has been constituted, if you haven't heard the message yet, go out and get your seals now. We need everyone that has a state that's unified to send us a copy of their seal. If they go out to the jurist page, they highlight the jurist tab, and they click on Juris Documents. I'm going to do that as I speak. If they click on Juris Documents, right on the top of the page, it says, all constituted states that have their unified seal, please download this doc, make 6 original sealed copies, and mail it, instructions enclosed. So at first we had 4, but I changed this to 6. So, you know, send us out 6 originals. So you take this paper, it's a Word document, fix it for your state, put your state name, get rid of all the red, turn it black, and put the proper information there and mail it in to the proper place. Do it right away. Get your seal if you haven't ordered it. If you order it tonight, you'll get it in 3 days. If you didn't order it yet, get it. As soon as you get it, download the papers, prepare the papers, get 6 copies, seal it, and mail it to the address given. As soon as we get the 14 or more states, all those copies, we wrote a paper, and we'll get into detail later on this, but basically it's going to say that they are concurring, that these states are concurring with the Unified Grand Jury of New York. You see, we're coming out with real numbers. He called us a group. We're going to show them we're not a group. We are the people across the geographical United States. We are coming out of every state of the Union. We are coming from many counties, hopefully at some point every county, but we're coming right now from almost 700 counties. We are the people. We're not a group. And this message is only can be clearly made by doing what we're speaking about right now. Any other state that's ready to pop, you get your seal and you send us a copy, okay? Even if it's a couple of weeks from now that you're going to pop, send us a copy, because we're going to be doing other paperwork and we're going to do this in one accord. We, the people of America, of every state of the Union, we're going to do it from there. We also put up on our website under the same, under the Juris tab, highlight the Juris tab. Let me see. It should be under Juris Documents. Yeah. Well, just real quick, under Juris Documents, you also have a copy. It's if you look at the list, it's in alphabetical order. So you go down to U, and you'll see Unified Grand Jury Seal. So if you want to know how to create your unified grand jury seal, you follow the instructions for the state seal, I mean for the county seal, and you'll find that up to an F, well, no, hold it, under G, grand jury seal, and you'll see the instructions there on how to create the grand jury seal. But you'll also see how to create the unified grand jury seal. Okay, it's the same steps, only thing you're putting a few different words in here. But it is imperative, absolutely imperative, that we are indeed unified across this nation, that we all have the same seal, with the only difference being our state and our county or our states. Okay, that's the only difference. And that shows unification. That shows that we are in one accord under, by the grace of God, a common law or natural law by the grace of God, which is what it says in the center of our seal. And on the outer part of the seal is the fact that we are the unified grand jury in this case and whatever state you're coming from. And in the center is 1215, Magna Carta. And that's sending a message to them. That's putting a chill in them. You know, I've been thinking about Jericho. When the walls of Jericho fell, for 7 days, God told the people to march around the city. And they marched around the city and blew the horns. Okay, and you can imagine the people in the city hearing the rumbling as these unbelievable numbers of people are marching around the cities, around the walls of Jericho, and the rumbling and the trumpeting and the fear in the cities. No one came in and no one came out. And on the seventh day, they blew the trumpet and made a great shout, and the walls fell down. And I kind of see this thing right here. We are surrounding the city. We are surrounding the Babylon. We're surrounding the courts. These evil people that control the organized crime here in America. We're surrounding them. They're hearing the trumpeting. They're hearing the rumbling. And when we all come together in one accord with a shout, their courts of injustice are going to fall, and they're going to be on the run. I believe that that opportunity is here for us. The question is, are we going to take that opportunity? Are we the people going to step up and do the job and get it done? You know, there's no time for fear. I don't have time to think about fear. If I had time to think about fear, I probably wouldn't even be here, maybe. But I just don't have the time to think about it. It's got to be done. Because you don't know fear until the day comes if we don't achieve our goal. Now you're going to know fear. The fear that you don't want your children to have. So anyway, we need the states to get moving on this, and that's why I want to talk with the state coordinators. I want to find out where they're at, who ordered their seal, because that's what the only thing I want to get as we move through these questions here is what state you're in. Do you have your seal? Are you getting it? When will you have it? Have you done your whole state? Are you close to it? And are you working on it? And we have people now working. We have Sheila out of Massachusetts, which is spearheading the movement, the national movement, to get the seals and to get the all of the work done in each of the states. And there's other people working with her. She's not alone. There's a group of them. They've took it upon themselves to initiate this program, and I heard about it. This really came to realization of it just over the weekend at the cookout we had up in Columbia County, and I was glad to hear that people took this initiative to do this. And I was aware that she was talking with a couple of states, but I wasn't aware that there were so many people involved, and they were breaking the nation up into parts, three or four parts, and getting this job done. Calling up the state coordinators, making sure they're activated and see what they're doing, showing them how we can get their state done overnight almost. This is a state of emergency. We need to move. And so we've turned some states overnight very quickly, particularly Minnesota. Minnesota was nothing, and overnight, literally, that became a constituted state. Yeah, we have to continue working within our state, and we have to continue to organize and find leaders for the counties and so on and so forth, but let's get the job done. Because let me just finish this other point. We're going to deal with the 151 federal judges here in New York. The next step might be, and probably is going to be, all the judges across the nation in every state to make them aware of the crimes taking place and the event going on in New York, and they need to act and let them indict all themselves. Now we go to the United States Supreme Court. I can't fathom in any way, shape, or form. This is the biggest case, in my opinion, that has ever come to the United States Supreme Court, and I truly believe that because we're about to lose the nation. The people are either rising up or they're not going to rise up. It's up to you. Are you going to rise up? Are we going to answer the call? Are we going to save America for our children, for our posterity? Are we going to save America for ourselves and our family? Or are we going to sit back and let someone else do it? No, it's time to move. Either we do it or we don't. We're going to get there with a lot of states or not. And I'd like to see at a bare minimum when we get to Washington. And I believe if we don't get this accomplished within the next 3 to 4 weeks, we will be in Washington in 3 or 4 weeks. I want to move that quick at bare minimum. I want to move that quick. And the only thing that's going to hold us up from moving fast to that is how fast can we get the SEALs. I mean, overnight them if you have to. Get them out. Get this job done. Get the SEALs so we can place the SEALs. This next paper is going to go in with 14 states concurring with New York State to let them know, and we're going to do the indictment with those 14 states. And hopefully we're going to get 15, 16, 18, 20, 26. 26 is the big number. That's the bare minimum. 3/4 is what I really feel most powerful with. Of course, 100% is great, but 3/4 would be really super powerful if by the time we get to Washington, we have 3/4 of the states done. We can do it. It's up to the people. It's up to you. Anybody in this call, hearing this call, anybody here live or listening to this call on record, okay, it's up to you. Don't think the other guy's doing it because he's not. It's up to you. You are the people that have to do this. No one else is going to do it but you. And we have to do it because we don't have a choice or we're going to lose America. And I think everybody here deep down in their heart knows if we don't move, we're going to lose America and there is nothing else we could do about it. Unless we may be able to win a bloodbath, but who wants to be there? We're going to lose our children. We're going to lose everything. And we'll be ripe for the taking by other countries. China could move right in. If we go into that kind of a revolution, China could move in. Russia could move in. Any number. You know, the United Nations are just waiting. They're poised, ready, waiting to come. As we mentioned before, there's over 600,000 federal foreign troops in American soil. We are an occupied nation, and we the people can turn that around in literally no time. Once we win in the court, we can push these people right out of our nation. We can organize, work with our sheriffs, with the militia. We're starting with the sheriffs to work through the counties, right up. We'll put the fear of America into these foreign troops, and they will leave our soil. But only you can do it. Nobody else. I can't do it. No one person can do it. No small group of people can do it. But we, the people, can do it. I can tell you, we have about 3,000 members. We've been having a little attrition, but we've been cold in the number because we're still getting people coming on. And again, people are leaving mostly because of fear. I know that because I talk to the people. And I also talk to people who've never joined because they're waiting to see what's going to happen. They're waiting. So there is a point when we're going to get a landslide in National Liberty Alliance. We get about 1,000 hits a day, and 40% of those hits are new people every single day. I've heard people talking about NLA all over the place now, but there are a lot of people that are sitting on the sidelines because they're afraid, or maybe other reasons. So when that landslide time comes, when 26 states come, and we're coming in powerful to the United States Supreme Court. If that's where we have to end up with this thing to get this accomplished, that's when the landslide, I believe, and most likely is going to happen. And that's when they're going to hear the shout, if there is a shout, or is there going to be a whimper? It's up to you whether it's going to be a shout or a whimper. And if it's a whimper, then we lost. We know that the United States Supreme Court, I'm sure they have guns to their head, so to speak. They got to be very careful. But I also believe that there's enough of them still up there that know this is. There's no doubt that they know this is the end of America. They see it coming. They see it clearly. Listen to what they say. Listen to what Scalia has been saying. He knows, okay. And I believe in my heart that these guys, they've been putting out some good stuff. They see this is the last ditch effort. This is it. I think they'll go for it. And if they go for it, there's no way they're gonna take them out at that point because it'll become a landslide into these positions that the people should have been holding from day one, but they're not. So it's up to us to do this job, and we got to do it. So moving back to the states now, we need 6 copies. They have to be originals. You have to fix the papers. Adjust the paper. download the paper, it's a doc, adjust it, write your state, you know, change the, I think it's redlined or yellow coded, whatever, just change that information, print off 6 copies or more, and seal, put a seal on each one of them, okay? It's got to be an impressed seal with a signature. And I strongly say, and we don't have anybody's name written on any of those papers. You'll see only the word foreman is there. That's it. Because you're going to be acting as a grand jury on behalf of your state nationwide. And you'll see grand jury, grand jury foreman there, nothing more. I strongly suggest anybody who signs these papers, you know, I have a couple of signatures. I've been in business for a very long time, 35 years. And I've signed a lot of papers and a lot of checks and a signature all day long. So I have this signature. It's very fast. There's no way nobody could read my signature. They have no clue who I am. I have my slow signature, which I very rarely use. Usually when I write a check, I'll use my slow signature. But even on my checks often, very quick. You can't read it. That's a pro for me, and it's a pro for anyone else that has that kind of signature, because they don't know who you are, and we don't want them to know who we are. We want them to know that we are here. That's what we want them to know, and we are the people, and we're everywhere. This is not coming from New York. This is coming from 14 states and more counting, more coming. The other part of this thing, we created a and everybody should look at this on our page. If you go to our jurors page, and you click on our jurist documents, okay, we created a postcard, and it's P for postcard, okay? Just come down alphabetically, and you see P for postcard. It's a postcard example. Okay, someone brought this idea up, I think, last Monday, and we're running with it. It's a great idea because this is what's going to tell them. You see, the people, it's not just you. If there are 5 people in your family, then get 5 people to get 5 postcards and let's get them out. Get your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, anybody. People that are listening to this and haven't signed up to National Liberty Alliance for whatever reason, but they're kind of checking us out and listening in, seeing what's going on, and they have an interest, get the postcard. Do the postcards. Do this postcard, okay? And, you know, on the postcard, we're not asking anyone to put their name. Put your first and your middle name. Your first name and middle name. That's what I suggest. Don't put your last name. Put your city, state, and zip. Do not put an address on it. And send it to the judge. Let him know that we are many. Let's start this program tomorrow, okay? It costs 38 cents. Go to the post office and you get a stamped postcard. It's a clear postcard with a stamp on it. It's impression. On the front, you put from and to. Like I said, you don't want to put your last name. You don't want to be a target. But you want these postcards to be seen coming from all kinds of post offices all over the nation. They'll know it's real because of that. And on the back of the postcard, I wrote 2 different examples. And you can write whatever you want. These are just kind of examples. And if you want to write this word for word, that's fine. If you want to change a few words, if you want to write something else, whatever. Whatever you do, don't do anything mean and nasty, though. Okay, and this is what I wrote. I'll read the 2 cards. The first one says, Honorable Glenn T. Sutterby, I am one of the people from whatever state you're sending this from, New York, from New Jersey, from California, from Texas, from Wyoming. I am one of the people from Wyoming, and we are in the process of constituting common law grand juries in all of our counties. And like New York's unified common law grand jury, we too demand you to obey the law of the land and sign the writ of mandamus commanding state judges, clerks, and other servants to obey the law. It is your duty. And you can put a squiggly signature or don't put a signature at all. And that's one example. Here is another example. Honorable Glenn T. Sutterby, I am one of the people from Texas or Jersey or whatever. And we, too, have constituted common law grand juries in all our counties, if you're in a state that has done it at all. And like New York's unified common law grand jury, we, too, demand you obey the law of the land and sign the writ of mandamus commanding state judges, clerks, and other servants to obey the law. It is your duty. Okay, so that's generally the idea. Go ahead, John.
The states that haven't completely, you can still send it in and say, we are electing common law grand juries throughout the state as we speak.
Right. The first one says that. Let me go back and let me open that back up. Postcard example, here it is. Okay. Yeah, the first one said that. Let me read the first one real quickly. I am one of the people of, you know, Pennsylvania or Connecticut or Texas, and we are in the process of constituting common law grand juries in all of our counties. And like New York's unified common law grand jury, we too demand you to obey the law of the land and so on and so forth. So we have it coming from both perspectives. That's why I wrote two different ones, one from states that haven't fully constituted yet but are on the way of doing it, and one from states that have constituted it. Now, the point is this. We know we've got 3,000 members, okay, so we should have at least 3,000 postcards going out. We need everybody. Everybody needs to. I'm going to send out an email on this tonight or tomorrow morning to everybody. I want everybody to be pushing. We're going to be talking to the state coordinators about this. This is a campaign that the state coordinators have got to push. You've got the list of all the people in your state. Get to them. Call them up on the line. It is important that they get these postcards. And if they have three or four people in their family, get three or four postcards. If they got family, friends, relatives, anything, neighbors, coworkers, get this message out. Get them to do it. We, the people, have got to speak. We have to stand up and do this thing. We need to send it into the courts. We need to let them know that we are here. Okay? We're going to probably do this twice because we're going to do this now for New York, but we're also going to do this. If we have to move into the United States Supreme Court, we're going to do this to the United States Supreme Court. We're going to send it to the justices. We're going to bombard them with these postcards. And if we don't, if they get 150 postcards, we lose. Okay? If they get 10,000 postcards, we win. They're coming from all over the country. We are not a group. We are not some disgruntled group in a corner of a county or a state that's just pissed off and want to get in there and upset their apple cart. That's not what we are. We are the people, and we want America back. We want them to behave. We're willing to give them mercy, but you got to behave and step aside. And if you're not going to behave and you're not going to step aside, we're going to take you down through an indictment. And that's the message we need to get to these people. And we need to do it, and only you can do it. I can't do it. Gerard can't do it. You can do it. Only you, we, the people, can do it. So please, don't set it off on the side. Don't say I'll get to it next week. Do it tomorrow. Get it done and get the job over with. And get as many, don't not tell people. Get your spouses, get your children, get your parents, get your uncles, your aunts, your nieces, your cousins. Get everybody to do it. Let them know how important this is. Bring them out to National Liberty Line. Say, look, just read the page. Read it, the page to them. Sit with them to watch the video. Make sure they see it. Say, look, this is what we have to do. Even if you don't want to join, just get the postcard out. And when we need you again in a month or so, get the postcard out again. We are going to fail if people don't get up off their tuchuses and do this now. So do it, please. Okay, I want to move over to the state coordinators. I'm going to go one at a time. I just want your first name, your state, and I want you to tell me you're on board or you're not on board. I'm on board. I'm going to work with other state coordinators. I'm going to help to find other state coordinators in my state. I'm going to try to find some more. I want to get this job done. When you're telling me you're on board, you're saying I'm going to make the phone calls. I'm going to work with Sheila and others that are working to unite the entire nation now to get this movement. You're going to move to make sure that everyone in your state knows about this postcard thing. Have them come and listen to tonight's program. Get the specifics and have them get involved and get this postcard. Show them where the postcard is at. Get this postcard done. Also, I want a commitment, you're on board or you're not on board, to work as fast as possible. Sheila has a great plan and other people working with her. They have a great plan on how to get your state done right away. Follow their instructions and get it done. Let's become 26 plus states. Let's become over half the nation. Let's get this thing moving. It's now or never. The trumpet is blowing. You have to respond to the trumpet. We need the people to come together with the shout, and let's take the walls of injustice down. We must do this, and we must do it now. We do not have any time to wait. So all I want to know is your name, your state, I'm on board, And I'm going to be talking with Sheila, or if Sheila has called you already, fine. But if and you communicate, let's get going. So let's go. That's all I want to hear, and then we'll move into a Q&A, okay? So first caller, you're unmuted. What say you? 810-785. Are you on board? Are you a state coordinator?
Yes, I am. Michigan.
First name, state, okay.
Neil in Michigan. And yes, we're on board. The it is in progress as we speak, but we're just beginning it, and not all the organizers are aware of it, I don't think. But
okay,
we're in
well,
the
talk
progress.
With Sheila. Get your organizers together. Talk with Sheila. She will help you. She's got a group that she's working with. If she herself doesn't help you, others are involved in that group. They will help you. They'll give you some clues on how to move this thing forward quickly. But the key thing that I want to hear from you, that you're on board, you're going to get active and make the phone calls and move the people of your state to try to accomplish their goal before this month is out. Is that true?
It is true.
You're going to try. If you don't succeed, we understand, but you'll be right behind it anyway, because eventually we need the whole nation.
All right,
let me go. If you want to ask a question, I'll open up. For anybody else that wants to ask a question, when we open up for Q&A, then you can come back and ask questions. But I'm going to go to the next call. I want to go through this quickly. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so that was Michigan. Thank you. And your first name again?
Neil.
Okay, Neil from Michigan. Thank you, Neil. Sheila, if you're here tonight, and I perceive you are, you might want to make notes of these names. Neil from Michigan. Okay, next caller, 428-847.
Hi, John.
State?
Hi. Robert in Illinois.
Robert, and, how you doing, Robert?
Okay, as you know, we already got our first 10 done. And
right,
now we're,
I'm really proud of you guys.
Yeah, we're ready to do our whole state at once now. Gary and I are both on board together. We're working diligently, and within the 30 days, I believe we'll have it all done.
Okay, that's what I want to hear. And by the way, everyone should go out and get their unified seal right now. If they're making that commitment, get your unified seal right now. So when you're ready and you are totally constituted, you can move right into the seal process with us. So all you need to do is get the download the papers, get your seal, and get ready to press it as soon as you're ready, and send them out to me, okay? All the instructions are on that page.
We got a few of our county seals done, but we just need to do that one united seal.
Right, one united seal.
Okay.
Okay, let me go to the next caller. Wireless caller, 223. First name, state, are you on board?
This is Anthony from West Virginia. As you said, we just completed constituting the state, and we are on board. We already have our state seal.
Okay. Get it out to me ASAP. Get them in tomorrow morning's mail, okay?
Will do.
Thank you. Let me go to the next caller. Okay, next caller. I'm going to be moving fast through this. 941-726. First name and state, are you on board?
Roger, Florida, yes. On board.
Okay. And you guys are done, so have you got your seal yet?
Yes.
Okay, get me those copies ASAP. We need it for the courts. What's going to hold us up is those seals, because I don't want to send the next paperwork in until we get the seals. And tomorrow night, we're voting for the indictment. Anyone coming into that meeting tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here, same meeting place, right here. Just come in at 9, and we're going to take a vote. Okay, let me go to the next caller. Terry, go right ahead from Arizona.
This is Terry in Arizona. We are on board. We're fully constituted. Charlie,
okay,
the other state coordinator, is working on our seal. The papers are already downloaded, and we're modifying right now as you speak.
Okay, great for Arizona. Thank you. Let me move to the next caller. Wireless caller, 991.
Yes, Ernie in Washington.
Okay.
And we're on board.
Okay, and you're already done, and you're moving towards your seal, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, do you guys get your seal yet, or are you waiting?
Veronica, I believe, was doing that. That's the last word I had, and that was several days ago.
Press on Veronica, make sure it's been ordered. As soon as you got it, get it sealed the same day and get it out. We need to move, okay?
Exactly, got it.
Thank you. Okay, next, wireless caller, 717, state and name and state.
Jesse from Pennsylvania. And
how are you doing, Jesse? Okay, good to hear from you. Good, thank you. Okay, so you got your seal yet?
I just downloaded the paperwork and going to fill it out and go get it ordered. Pennsylvania, hopefully it'll fit.
Okay, get your unified seal order tonight. You can do that online or tomorrow morning first thing. Takes 3 days to get. We got to wait to get your seal before we move forward. And we got to move forward fast. There is no more time to wait. So, and I'm good. I'm glad to hear all this positive stuff now. Okay, let me go to the next state. 716, name and state.
This is Kevin from New York.
How you doing, Kevin? I know New York's on board, right?
Yep, we're on board. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got the unified seal on that one, and it's done for us, so we're ready to rock and roll, obviously. So.
All right.
Okay, next caller, Daryl. Go right ahead. Name is Daryl.
Yes, this is Daryl in Missouri. And we're setting up an election for one-third of the state on the 21st of this month. I have my county seal, and I'm in the process of ordering the unified seal as we speak.
Okay, so you'll be a little behind the eight ball, but not too far. By the time we go to Washington, hopefully you'll have your state done. That's about 3 to 4 weeks from now. If we have to go to Washington, we may win this thing without having to go to Washington. But we'll get your seal because, you know, if at least you're on board for the last election at the time, you can at least put the seal in. By the time we send our paperwork out, we'll calculate that to make sure that your state had been done. Okay? But get the seal. And for those states that have not really done it yet, but they get their seal, they get the paperwork to me right away and just put a note in there on what date you expect to have it completed by. But we're not going to act off that state until it's confirmed. We're not going to add you to the list as a bona fide constituted state until you tell us. But let's get in ahead of the game. Let's get the paperwork together, get the seal, get it out to me. Okay, every state should be getting the seal and get the paperwork out to me, done or not. Okay, let me move to the next state. Wireless caller 760.
Name okay, state. Dave in San Diego. We're
okay.
On board.
Okay, great. All right, and work with Sheila. Let's get things going out there and finished up, okay?
Yes,
get
sir.
Me the seal. Do you have the seal yet?
I have to check with the other two coordinators.
Okay, get the seal and get that out to me, even if you're not constituted yet. Get me that seal and just write in, not constituted yet. We know we have to follow up with you before we add it to the list, but we want to be ready because if we're sending papers out on a particular day and we get the call that day or the day before that, hey, you're done, hey, pop, you're in, we're going to put that in, that's an extra state. The more states we have, the more power we have. We the people are speaking. Believe me, this is going to be extremely powerful. They cannot resist this. I don't see any way they can anyway. I mean, if they resist this, then America is totally gone, and we know that the last resource is left. But, okay, let me go to the next caller. Next caller, go right ahead. Lewis, is it?
Yes,
doing,
it is.
Lewis?
Good, John. Lewis in Michigan.
Okay.
And as Neil said earlier, we are on board and certainly working towards getting it done.
Okay, so we got Lewis and Neil. I got it. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Next caller, Laura. How you doing from Oregon?
Hey, Laura, Oregon. We are totally on board. We should be done on the 23rd with the entire
Okay. Season. Get your seal because you'll be in time for the paperwork, hopefully, okay? Get your seal.
Okay.
And, you know, work with others. I know money's tight for a lot of us. We come together, few of us throw five
well,
bucks in.
We have some episode. Checks. We have some checks. We just can't cash them because we don't have state ID.
Really? Oh, boy.
Yeah. Chris's boss said he would cash them tomorrow, so.
Okay. Well, we'll be praying for you on that, too. So.
Thank you.
Okay, Laura, good work, and get me the paperwork. Okay, next state. This should be elating people, by the way, because we're doing really good tonight. Next is 406 Wireless Caller, first name and state.
Hello, this is Julie.
Yep.
I'm in Montana.
Montana, how you doing?
Good.
How's things going in Montana? Are you on board?
Yeah, we're on board.
Okay.
I just talked to Susan tonight from Maine, and we're going to have a meeting sometime this week.
Okay. Do what you got to do. Get your unified seal as soon as possible. Get those papers sent out to me as soon as you can. And then you let us know when you're constituted. Just put a little note, not constituted yet, but we'll have the seal on file. When you are, we'll start adding your names into whatever paperwork you were doing at the time. Okay?
Okay. All right.
All right, and keep up the good work. Thanks. Okay, next, Jan, State. Jan, you're the next caller. What state are you in?
Pennsylvania.
J-A-N. Pennsylvania, okay. So PA's on board, and you're working with Jesse.
Yes, I ordered a seal. It should be here Thursday, so we should have 6 copies for you quickly.
Okay, great work. So we just got the answer that Jesse wasn't sure about. Thank you. Okay, next caller, 386-761. Give me your name and a state.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, yes. I'm in Florida.
Okay.
I'm not a state coordinator.
Okay. All right, well, do you want to work with the state coordinators to get things done?
I could, sure.
What's your first name?
My name is Armando.
Armando, okay. Get a hold of Roger over there in Florida, okay?
I know Roger.
And get active, and we know that Florida's done. They're on board and moving. Okay, let me go to the next caller. And we'll be opening for Q&A shortly. 202, is that Rich? Richard from Maryland? Hello? 202-524. It looks like Richard.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now. Is that you, Richard?
I'll mute it out. Richard from Maryland. We're all reconstituted, but we've got our seal ordered. However, it's not an embossed seal.
Okay, you got to get an embossed seal. The
okay.
only thing that's a true seal is an embossed seal. See what you can do about working on that as quick as possible. That's about 40. You know what it is? About $45
yeah.
plus delivery. I think it's $54 altogether. Of course, name.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna file our paperwork here in the next 2 weeks too.
And you're working with Delaware, right? And have you spoke with Sheila yet on Delaware?
I haven't reached out to Sheila yet. If she's
Sheila,
on the call,
Sheila, if you're here, get a hold of Richard in Maryland.
Yeah, my number.
Richard, go ahead.
Number's 410-921-9097.
Okay. Say it one more time.
410-921-9097.
Okay. All right. Let's get Delaware done. I think Delaware's only got 3 counties. It's a quickie. We've got people in every county there already. And I know Sheila's talked to people there, and I know you're next door, so you can make it happen quick. So
great.
We should be able to get them done in the next week or two. So
sounds good.
Okay. All right. Let me move to the next. Next one is 212, Patricia Sachs, probably Connecticut,
hi.
Right?
In Connecticut, one of our members has ordered the seal, so it either is already arrived or should be arriving soon.
Okay, so the paperwork will be coming to us soon.
Yeah. Now, I'm working with a couple other states, but it's going to take a little time. With Mississippi in particular,
Working with Sheila also up in Massachusetts?
Pardon?
Are you working with Sheila up in Massachusetts?
We talk occasionally.
Okay, you might want to give her a call and she'll help you, and they got a whole other group of people, unless you're part of that group, working on other states. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm not part of that group, but I'm just working with a few individual states, and we'll see. We're going to try to get some meetings going. I'm hoping we can get this done in 4 weeks, but we'll see.
Okay, as soon as you can.
All right,
and if you need my help, let me know. Really talk to Sheila, because I'll let them handle it, because they got a group of people working this, and they'll assist you in a lot of ways. They may have already made contact with some people in Mississippi and can help you move along quicker.
All right, we'll see.
They got a good
plan. I'll be talking to her.
Okay. All right, next caller, wireless caller, 620-780-870. Wireless caller 620.
Yeah, this is Johnny B. out here in Kansas.
Hey, how you doing, Johnny?
Hey, pretty good, pretty good.
Okay, Kansas is on board?
The county of Montgomery is. We've got our seal.
Okay.
All we were
all
waiting
right.
for was we go to it.
And how would the state, are you a state coordinator out there, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Maybe you might. Are you working with others yet in Kansas to get this thing done in Kansas? If you need help, give a call to Sheila in Massachusetts, and she'll clue you in on some ideas and ways to move things along quicker, okay? She's been very successful, and others that are working with her, okay?
Cool. Yeah, that'll help a lot.
Okay, let's get Kansas moving on board. Well, we'll do what we can to help you. Like I said, there's a team out there working this, okay? Okay, next caller, 570-309.
Where do I go and print the form?
What state are you?
Pennsylvania.
PA. Okay, talk with, let's see, Pennsylvania's Jesse and Jan. Jan got the seal, and Jesse is also, those two, I believe, are both state coordinators. Are you working with them?
Yeah, I already got the seal for our county.
Oh. Okay, so work that out with Jesse and Jen, okay? And you, this the paper to be downloaded is under Jurist, okay? Go up to Jurist, highlight Jurist, and then click on Jurist Documents, okay? And right on the top of the page, it says, all constituted states that have their unified seal, please download this doc, make 6 original sealed copies, and mail it. Instructions enclosed. Okay?
Yeah, I have a suggestion. If we constituted, don't we just, we can inform them that we already are going forward and actually elect the common law grand jury?
I'm sorry, say that
in
again?
In order to, we, right now the people are getting indicted, courts, you know, the foreclosure, all these things happening. And,
right.
Why don't we go forward, elect the common law grand jury now, all the states that are constituted?
Well, that's
and
what we're
give,
doing.
And give a notice to them, and we just elect them, and then we'll
notify
the... We'll just notify the sheriff that we're going to be start indicting. And,
there's a different process. If you need to ask questions on the process, you could do it a little later in the call. I just want to get through this section,
mm-hmm.
and we'll move
all
to
right.
regular questions. But, no, we have a plan. Maybe you haven't heard the whole plan yet. We'll go through it again when
you
get back.
We've got to move faster.
We're moving as fast as we mm-hmm. can. But first order of business is a seat in the courthouse. Can't do anything without a seat in the courthouse. So that's what we're working on first, and that's what New York is really striving to achieve. So if you want to ask specific questions, get back into the queue when I announce it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Next caller, 845, that's New York. Who's that?
This is Ollie from New York.
Hey, how you doing, Ollie? And I know we're ready to rock and roll.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, that's the last caller. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 states that committed. There are states that have already constituted and are not on this list, so I presume that they didn't make it here tonight. If there's anyone else that's in from another state that hasn't pushed that button, that's a state coordinator that can pop up and say you're on board, give us your name and state, do it now, and let's get it done so we get you on the list. Anybody who is listening to this message on the record, get a hold of Sheila. She's in Massachusetts. She's one of the state coordinators. Just look it up on our state and get it there. Just quick to Josh, you said something about the call drop for some people. If you missed anything, you're going to want to re-listen to the audio and pick up those areas. I have not dropped. I've been on all this time. I've been communicating with people, so I haven't dropped, but others have. I guess, but you're back on. I did see the numbers go down and back up again, so I guess some calls were dropped off. Okay, we got more people coming on board to give us some more information on their states. 303, wireless caller. What state? First name?
Charlie.
Hey, how you doing, Charlie?
Hey, I don't know why you didn't call me, John, but I've been on. I'm calling for Colorado. We're on board.
Right.
We're going to be constituted fully on Saturday.
Okay, that's
and,
great news.
And I'm working with Sheila. She's a powerhouse.
Right.
And Susan and Josh. And I've reached out to New Mexico, Utah, Nevada, in California. And I want to tell folks that, like Illinois and some of the other states, by the way, guys, you can, during this process that has been brought forward, you can get your state done by the 28th of June.
Okay. Yeah, work together with the team. Absolutely. Work together with the team, and Yeshila's one, and join that team. You know?
Yeah, and if anybody wants to ask her or I about the process, I'm working with those states. I'll work with any of the other states. The gentleman that called him from Kansas, I was about to call Kansas and Oklahoma tomorrow. I'm planning to work with them. They can get this process done. If I even talk to you tomorrow, you can get it done by the 28th. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to mention to you, John, I know I don't want to get back into the Q&A, but I was looking at your paperwork that you did, and you mentioned this tonight early on. I'm sorry, but this is kind of important. This is kind of screwy about the Second Circuit. The chief judge for the Second Circuit is Katzman. Gerard, if you're on, I will send you an email with the different links I pulled up, but you're in the Northern District, which the judge that you have apparently on through this process, Sotheby,
yep.
He is not the chief judge.
Okay, yeah, I was led to believe that by talking with the women in the office, but I didn't know that for sure, but okay.
Okay, in the Northern District of New York, it doesn't necessarily say, I mean, the Honorable Gary L. Sharp is the chief judge.
Okay.
But they do not make an indication that they are part of the Second Circuit. It's really quirky. I've never seen this before.
You know, maybe I should change this up to Sharp, the postcards, or maybe just let it go to
Most definitely. I'll send the links, Gerard. I'll send it to you because I know...
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Anybody that downloads the information on the postcards, look back on it tomorrow morning or later tonight. We're going to change the name to Sharp. Let's get it out to that individual because he's the individual that is responsible for this entire district, I guess, then. Then that's what we'll do.
Okay. And the last thing, could you bring Sheila on? That woman is a powerhouse.
Right, if she's in the queue, she'll be on. They had problems. They were disconnected. I'm getting text messages from Josh, and Josh is telling me some things. They let me know that Maine and Massachusetts is in the game, so there's two more states so everybody can know. And we are looking for Vermont and New Hampshire up there, so anybody that's representing Vermont and New Hampshire, let's get on board with this.
Okay,
anything else,
reason,
Charlie, real quick? Cause
well, the only reason why is I was going to let Sheila... give the cliff notes of what I've shared with her that I'm sharing with other states.
Okay, if she's on board, when we get to the Q&A, I'll try to get her up front. Okay,
awesome.
Once I know
Thank
what
you.
Her phone number is, I'll be able to get her up front.
Thank
so
you.
So she can get into the queue, we'll do that. If she gets into the queue later, if she's not in yet because of phone problems, she can get the message. Once she's in, she can get the message out in the text. Gerard, if you're watching the text, you can get that message to me with Sheila's phone number so I can, or you'll be able to unmute her and get her going. You'll take care of that, Gerard, okay? Okay, we'll do that, Charlie.
Okay,
caller
up can be number 15.
Okay. All right, so we're moving along here. Okay, we got more states coming up. Let's go to the next state, 1336.
Hi, this is Carrie from North Carolina.
Hey, how you doing, Carrie from North Carolina?
I'm good, thanks. Well, we are on board. We so far have 21% of the state completed.
Okay, great work.
So,
all right, are you working with Sheila also in that group?
I have been in contact with Sheila, yes.
Okay. All right, work with her, and I think she'll be talking shortly anyway, and I guess reveal some of the things they're doing and give some points, but you know, look at—we got to move this along. I'm really feeling good tonight because I'm really seeing some great activity. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20 states so far in the game, and I know some that aren't here will be here soon, and you know, on board maybe if they're listening in on the recording. But we still have more, so let me move on, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. Okay, next, Donald, how you doing? Talk to me. Donald, you're unmuted. I believe you're South Carolina, right?
Excuse me?
What state are you again?
Indiana.
You're breaking up. Say it again.
I just want to say that
Gerard, did you get that? Because I couldn't get that.
No, not at all. He's breaking. His mic is breaking up really bad.
Yeah, Donald, if you're in the text chat, put it in the text chat, and Gerard will pipe it out. Anybody, any other state coordinator that wants to put it in the text chat, tell us the state, tell us you're on board, you're working, and you're either in contact with Sheila or you will be. Okay. Donald, try one more time before we let you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't understand anything. I got to move
really?
On. Not a word. It's like you got a broken mic. It's just crackling. Not getting over. Crackling mic. I don't know. Try calling in or something. And or
how about now?
Try it. Got a little bit.
How about now?
Go ahead. Try it.
That's
how
better.
About now?
Give
better.
Us your state. Give us your state.
Indiana.
Okay, Indiana. You on board?
Yes, we are. I am going to buy a state seal and get that going and get the rest of the state going as well. Basically, we only have one county constituted, but we're going to go for all 92 soon.
Okay, talk with Sheila. She's got great plans on how to do these things. You know, with that many counties, you might want to do it in two sessions. I don't know, but or three. But talk with Sheila. Look, at this is an emergency time. We've got to get moving, and we'll continue organizing as we're moving forward. But we have to unite across the nation as quick as possible. Okay, Don, let me move to the next caller. Next one, 720. You've been unmuted.
Hello, John. This is Steven in Colorado.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. We've constituted 53 of the 64 counties. We've got five more to do. We've got five more scheduled for tomorrow, three for Thursday, two for Friday, and one for Saturday, and we should be done. And I'll get with Charlie about the seal, but yeah, we're definitely on board.
Okay. Yep, Charlie was just on the line, so.
I know. I heard her. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
By the way, you're bleeding through here, Gerard. Okay, next caller, 201. It sounds
hi,
like
Jason
H.
from New Jersey.
There.
Yes, we have
Jason.
Our steel.
I was wondering where New Jersey went to.
My phone died, so I had to get back in. John,
okay.
Just a little thing. Now, when you do, I got the seal on the 6th, but unfortunately they didn't leave it for me. I just got it back today. When we do our seal, do you want it that it will be definitely a raised seal? But how are you gonna make it dark? Do you want to use like a carbon paper on that to make it?
No. You just make a nice tight seal. What happens when the courts receive a seal? They fill it with wax. So we'll
okay.
Let them fill it with wax. Okay.
All right. That's good. I got everything there. Everything's sent out, and it won't be. It will be an 8.5 by 10 folded, non-folded paper. That way, when you make the copy, it will be
right.
Crisp.
Preferred not fold. We don't want that seal crease. So if you send send this paperwork out in a full envelope,
right.
You know, it's not going to cost that much. You know, it might cost $1 at the most. It's just going to cost by weight. You know. 6-7 pages in a fold, in an envelope that's an 8, just a little bigger than 8.5 by 11, it should cost under $1 so
yeah.
to get it out to us. But get that out ASAP.
And for people who need while they're waiting on everything to come together, you can get a post office box for about $60 for 6 months. Unfortunately, they require all their ID. You might use UPS as a better seal, place to get your mailbox.
Right. Well, what we did ours down in Westchester County. Tony went out and took out after us, and I'm sure I know he gave his name, but he opened it up under the name of New York Unified New York New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury, and I think he gave his name also. But one way or the other, we do have an address for that, and we use the United States Post Office for that. You could use a private mail service also for that, but you should have the box's name as the State Unified Common Law Grand Jury.
Right.
Okay? So, and also a couple other things, just real quick on while we're talking about that. You should have one phone number, at least for the state. At some point, every county should have their own phone number. And, you know, people may not be able to afford this right now, so you can wait until we get in, and then they can start ordering the phones, and the state will pay for it. But until then, and it's those who can't afford it, they can do it now. But we do have a service that we use. We suggest everybody using it. First of all, by using this service, we do get a few pennies from every phone line that's coming in that supports NLA, so that's one good reason to use it. Second good reason, it's the best phone service I've ever found. I've been using this for over 10 years now, and it's an amazing follow me service, and it's a very, you know, it follows, there's a lot of following you could do. If you got four administrators, you could go to the first administrator, second, third, fourth, and then you can even send it to the secretary, or you can send it to the over to a recording, or whatever it is you want to do it. I suggest keep it live. And you can also shift that around. You could do Monday. Let's say I'm going to give a number for the administrators, 1234. So on Monday it goes to 1234, and Tuesday it goes to 2341. On Wednesday you can send it to 3412. You know, the point is you can mix it up. It's very sophisticated. It's got a lot of different things to it. Every phone call is recorded. Every incoming phone call is recorded. You also have a fax service attached with it. It's just got a lot of great stuff. And so I've been using it for business for quite some time now, and now I'm using it for the Unified Grand Jury here. And eventually, and I'll be using this also for my county at some point. But anyway. Anything else, Jason, real quick, because I want to move into
the
next
point. In some paperwork, we need to have a standing in our standing where we're going, because, again, that's very, very critical in our paperwork. It's something to look into.
Oh, we have an absolute standing. We'll talk about that guy if we want, what's going on, and I'm going to respond to that stuff. And, you know, look, I get a lot of people, they think I have time, they write me long, long, long letters, and I can't read it. Sometimes I try to read whatever I can, and when I get to these really long ones, I just delete it, because I just haven't got the time. And people ask questions or make statements that they can come on to the Monday night call for. And that individual that's doing all this chaos has been on the line. He was here last Monday. He could have stayed. He hung up on me, and then went and did some stuff, and you know, it's caused some chaos, and it's taken a lot of my time, because I tell you what, I had planned to write some papers today. I wanted to read them tonight, and I didn't get that concluded because I got carried away with this other thing. So I'm going through. I have to read all these things, because it was on a very popular site where he wrote something. And it wasn't a destroying thing, but it had some negativity to it. And then some people, negative breeds more negativity. So we had some negative responses to that comments. And we had to go, I have to deal with that now. I have to set aside everything and go and deal with that problem, only because it has a high ranking. You know, sometimes we get some things on a site and people say, hey, go see what's going on over there. Look what they wrote. But I look at their Alexia rating and I see they get 6 people a month, and I'm not going to waste my time to respond to it. If they're really that serious and they think that they can help us, you know, stop the naysaying, come over and show us where we're wrong and let's fix it, because we will fix it if we're wrong. And, you know, come to our Monday night program and ask the question here, and everybody can hear the answer. You know, if you think you're going to trap me, trap me. I'm honest. I'm straight out. And I'll tell you what, if we got a mistake, I'll correct myself right here and right now. But right now we feel pretty confident in where we're going. Our standing is impeccable, impeccable. Let me underscore that. It is impeccable. Now, I agreed with this guy that I would go forward and add, be a little more redundant, but that wasn't sufficient for him. I don't know what he wants. I guess he wants to be me to be a clone to his position, and that is a different story altogether. But look, I don't mind being a little bit redundant, but we can't spend our time pleading to these people that we're this, that, or the other thing. We only have to say it once. As a matter of fact, when you read through court cases and you read through writings and how to write a court case, points are made. Don't be redundant. Say it once and move on. Once you've said it, you've done it. You can refer back to it, very minimal, and refer back to it and keep going if you have to from time to time. But don't repeat yourself over and over again. You're wasting your time, their time, and it shows also that you're insecure. So, you know, we want to write good as we can. We want to be very specific. We want to be on point. We want to keep our standing. We want to keep, which is our jurisdiction, of course, and we want to get the job done. And I think we're doing this. I really do.
And we don't want to play their game. You see, a lot of this gives them too much credibility. When we worry about the little bitty things that they're going to that they're claiming are going to make a difference, we've stated our fundamentals are pure, and they're going to have a very hard time saying, you don't get to say that because you have a voter registration card. If they said that, it's going to be game over for them anyway. You know, I mean, look, we're reporting crimes. They all take oaths of office. That's sort of the end of the story right there. I don't care who we are, who they think we are. We're here telling them that these things are crime. You know, who doesn't have standing to report a crime? Even a little kid can call up and say, I saw mommy kill daddy or something. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And to say that we all have to state our names and claim we're sovereign, that's dangerous because they want to call us sovereign terrorists. And so if we give them a bunch of names, that gives them, these are the sovereign terrorists of the group. So you got to stay away from that. I understand that if you're trying to be real pure, that is ultimately it. But we've already used the founder's words. We've used Scalia's words. We've used lots and lots of words that say that we are the people and we are sovereign. Now, I don't have to give them my thumbprint and my DNA and stand up on the World Trade Center and say, I'm sovereign so-and-so and I'm suing the government. And that's going to somehow magically make them listen to me, because it's not.
Oh, it's not.
We also used the word tribunal, and we gave the Latin for the king and the king's bench, and we gave the Latin for the people on their own. I mean, we've done a lot. I mean, if that's not sufficient, look, I don't want to hear at that point. We ignore and move. We do what they do, but we do it with authority. We ignore and move on.
Well,
we indict.
They're
susceptible to collateral damage, and we are going to damage them.
Let's ask them a question then, if that's the case. If we try everything else, we say, okay, Your Honor, or whatever you are, if we tell you that we're sovereign and we give you our names and do all that, will you listen to us then? Will you completely turn around and let the people come in? Do you think that that's all it's going to take for these guys to give up? One of the problems why we're having problems is because they understand when we come in, their game is over. And so essentially it's almost like we're asking them to commit Harry Caray. But we're not.
And our next move is really going to be so powerful and unexpected. I mean, they could be listening in now and they know what our next move is, and that's fine. I'll tell them again if they didn't hear it clearly. We're going to indict this judge. Now, I can't say it's an absolute until all the people say yay. We did kind of take a vote on this before, but we're going to be very specific tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in this room. We're going to meet for the sole purpose of taking a vote, yay or nay, and that's it. And we're going to move on. And I am confident. I am confident because the people know what this means, that we're going to get a unanimous vote. We may have one or two people that may be resigned to this, but that's okay. We will get this fast, and we will go forward, and then we will send this in, and it'll blow their minds. I truly believe this guy will be blown out of the water. He'll be he's probably depressed already, the fact that he's heard from us in the first and second time, and he's really going to be depressed when we send the next in. And let's see what that clerk who works for the federal government, who is educated and understands what it means, you must move it through the process, let's see what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, this is a beautiful test for us. This is, I didn't set this up. This is a chess game taking place. And let me tell you, the moves are revealed as they go along. You say, wow, look at that move. I'm telling you, this is a powerful move. I've been thinking about this all day. I just like, wow. I said, really, we are in such a great position at this moment to do something that's really going to blow their minds, put them on notice, okay, blow their minds, and they're going to wonder what the heck to do. Because they're not stupid like the state.
Somebody was out there saying that when you indict the federal judge, that's when they'll come out and arrest you. Well, I don't agree with that because if we indict a federal judge and they arrest us for indicting a federal judge,
it must mean something.
Well, no, they got to give you your day in court.
That's true, yeah.
And then we're going to argue about whether or not we had the right to indict the federal judge. And don't forget, that's going to be a national dialogue there, no?
Yeah, well,
that's what they don't want. They'd rather ignore
it. They're not going to do it because they know we're on the mark. They know. They say nothing. They're quiet. They're muzzled. They have nothing to say. They have nothing to do. They don't know what to do. The FBI, they've exhausted it all. They know we're right. We know we're right. There is not one iota of a doubt in my mind or my heart, and not one. I am not concerned at all with any real law, or even statute, or anything that they can come. There's nothing. We are 100% on point. I am absolute in my heart and my mind. Okay, as far as us doing the right thing, and there's nothing that they could do about it. Nothing.
This is the real thing is that we have it. We have the rights. We just need a place to rest our head. And they are fearful of us because we know we're on the pen path, not the war path. And we have the legal right to address the grievances. And remember, without consent, there's no authority. No authority, no government.
That's right. Well, look, I got to move on because we haven't got any more callers yet. And if there's anybody other state coordinators that haven't come on board yet with the state, if your state's already done, that's fine. But if your state coordinators and your state has not piped up yet, pipe in now. And, of course, if you're listening to a recording on this, pipe in by doing the work and getting it out. You can give me a call if you want during the day. I should be available most of the day tomorrow, but sometimes it's hard. Well, I'm going to do writing tomorrow, so I'm not going to be available all day, but it's a hit and miss for me tomorrow. Should get me tomorrow evening, 845-223-6560. And, of course, be here tomorrow night, and you can confirm it tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when we come in to take the vote. We can go very quickly through people who want to add themselves to this list of confirmation. And right now, we're just about at the 50% mark with the confirmation, and that makes me feel real good. Okay, next caller is a 646 number. You've been unmuted. Wireless.
Hello. My name is Jonathan Ferris. I'm with Virginia.
Okay.
We're kind of behind in this race here, but I fully intend to bring it from the rear to the front.
Okay, what's your first name?
Jonathan Ferris.
Jonathan. Okay. All right, Jonathan. So Virginia's on board.
We're working with Susan right now, and we're getting our first meeting started, and we plan to constitute as many as we can in our first meeting and kind of go hug them all in.
Okay. All right. Thanks for letting us know, and keep up the good work. I appreciate it. And so does everybody else that's involved with this appreciates the work that each and every one of us are doing. You know, this cannot be done by one person. This takes we the people, and we are doing it. And remember, this is a bottom-up organization. I've never been to a true grassroots movement. I have never really found a true grassroots movement. I believe in my heart what we've created here is a true grassroots movement. And it's a bottom-up, and people do the business of their state and in their county what they need to do, and we collectively work together. It's nobody on the top making any of the decisions or anything. Those who are on the top or appear to be on the top are just teaching and passing the word. That's all we're doing. And you all have to get your own wings at some point. And I see a lot of wings out there already, and people are in flight on their own, and God bless them. Okay, let me go to the next caller.
Two things, John. Ohio is on board, and they're working on getting grouping. They're kind of like just getting going there.
Got a first name for Ohio?
I don't, because they didn't put their name in it. It's MBY.
Maybe they will, but go ahead.
Yeah, and West Virginia was constituted 6-5, not 5-5. That was a mistake. So 6-5.
Okay, yes, you're right. I'll go back and make that change.
I just wanted to get that out before I forget it, because this text chat moves away, and then I don't see it anymore.
Okay, keep an eye out for any other states that's answering through the text.
Yeah.
760, wireless caller, you got the mic.
Hi, John. This is Joe, California.
Hey, how you doing, Joe? Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. and I do appreciate what you're doing. I did have a criticism in the past, and I'm losing some confidence, and I did get a call from Bill, and I did read all of the stuff from the other caller. And what I want to do with my time right now, though, is on the NLA site, there's something really specific to California.
Okay, let me, before you go forward, let me just make a quick announcement. We are now moving into Q&A, so anybody who wants to get onto the call, questions and answers, now is the time. If you want to make a comment, hit the star 6, and then you'll be told to hit 1, and you'll be put into the queue. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
No problem. And Charlie's been calling me, and I'm trying to help her, too. You know, I just can't do things I don't have confidence in. And so one of my confidence destroyers is, in one of the calls that I had with you, it was kind of personal. I think it was actually you calling me and asking if I wanted to still be a state coordinator. And this was after I had warned you about me being fired by the other state coordinator, which was somebody that's no longer a coordinator. But
yeah, that was ridiculous. People don't have the authority to fire anyone. So what do you, look, if you have a troublemaker in the group, all the people should know it, and then they collectively need to deal with it. And the first order of business is try to correct that person if possible. And if you just can't settle them down, they can't be corrected, then collectively you people as a group in your state, in your county, or wherever it is, you have to work it out and make the decision on what to do. National Liberty Alliance will assist in any way you ask us to assist, but we really don't. We will never. Let me think. This may not be true. There are a couple of people we have actually kicked out of NLA because we believed in absolute that they were the enemy. But generally, people with problems or people that make havoc and stuff, and we don't think that they're necessarily the enemy. They got some other personal problems or whatever, we don't kick them out. But we will remove them as a state coordinator if the people of that state ask us to do that. And we will remove them as a county organizer if the people of the state say, hey, this is a problem. We need this. You need to do this, John. I'll obey whatever a state wants to do because collectively we have to deal with this. Once we get into the system and we start working with jurists, the grand jury or trial jury, from time to time we're going to get some people that are unstable or just unfit in one way or another psychologically or some way or another, someone who's just so obnoxious that we're just going to have to make that decision. It's the right thing to do. It'd be wrong doing if we let that person go in there and damage people. So you guys got to figure it out. You got to pray for wisdom on that. Make your decisions, be compassionate, try to work with the person as best you can to change them if possible. But sometimes you just can't change a person. So, you know, we do the best we can. But, yeah, Joe, when that happened with you, that was totally, and it happened with numerous people, totally unrighteous. I mean, someone just thought that they were the boss, and that's not what they are. Well, none of us are the boss. We're all the boss, actually. But we all have to work together, and we're the boss of these clowns that think that they own us, and they're actually servants. That's who we're the boss of. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. You know, California was actually admitted into the union as part of Clay's resolutions, January 29, 1850, mm-hmm. and that's a transcript of Compromise of 1850. And my problem has to do with one of the things on the site, and I told you about this already, and I thought you removed it. But okay. It has to do with marshals. And, mm-hmm. and let me read, and I read you this before. Let me read it again. This is on your site. It says, mm-hmm. as part of the famous Compromise of 1850, Congress passed one of the most roundly hated and violently opposed laws in American history. The Fugitive Slave Act requires U.S. marshals in the North to return escaped slaves to their masters in the South.
Right. Look at that. That was wrong, but it's part of history. But go ahead.
I'm gonna stop at the sentence that really causes me trouble. The Fugitive Slave Act required U.S. Marshals in the North to return escaped slaves to the masters in the South. Northern abolitionists who were intent on abolishing the institution of slavery turned on the marshals in a number of slave rescue cases. Next paragraph. but the marshals, comma, regardless of their personal feelings, comma, had no choice. That one sentence right there destroys my confidence.
Well, you're right. That is a bad sentence, and that's probably a sentence probably the writer put in there, and we could remove that sentence. You know, that's part of history. We don't want to cover history up. I was trying to put something out on the marshals, and I didn't write that. So I researched some stuff, and that's what we came up with so far. The marshals have a very good beginning. Actually, Washington started the marshals. He chose very specific individuals that were on the one hand. There were two criteria that Washington wanted when he started the marshals. The one criteria, he wanted these people to be supporting him and supporting the what they were building, which was the support of a federal, well, we call it a government, but a federal government. And it's really not a government, really. It's the union, but it is a sense of government because they have authority. But they're very, very limited in power. So he wanted someone who really believed in the Union on the one hand. But on the other hand, he did want people that that believed in states' freedom, that they were independent. So there was two of the criteria that Washington wanted. And I think that, if I recall, that particular paper makes that point. Now, as time went on, yeah, there were some problems. And I just let it go because it's history. It is what it is. But I do agree that seems to be a comment, because you're right. They didn't have a choice. They didn't have a choice. The choice was that they shouldn't have sent them back. That's the choice. But on the other hand, you know, they're obeying the law. But the problem was slavery. What year was that in, by the way? Did it say the year when they were sending them back?
Yeah, the start of the article was 1850.
Okay, so that was prior. Yeah, that was a problem. They had a problem back then. And it wasn't necessarily the heart of the country that had the problem. It was the SOBs that were already starting trouble and chaos and created that problem. And so, but I agree with you. It's a horrible thing. Maybe we should remove that one sentence. Put three dots in there.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I do want to say
if you want to do a research on the marshals that we can write up, because the marshals are part of the authority. We intend on using the marshals because we intend that the federal government's going to order the marshals to arrest any sheriff that doesn't obey the Constitution. Because that's going to take.
Yeah, I did write ups, and you told me that you didn't read the stuff that I write. But that's okay.
Yeah, it's probably too much. Look at... The only thing I could tell you on that is talk with Gerard on that. Bypass me for that. Go to Gerard, and maybe he can handle it, and then, you know, and he could take care of it, you know. But we do have to be a little careful. I do trust you a lot in your thing. Sometimes I think you're more long-winded than I am, and I know I'm long-winded, so I speak of myself first. That could be a down thing. Sometimes it could be an up thing. So we have to both shorten ourselves, I guess.
Yeah, I just want to say that anybody in California that gets like a jury duty notice, that they ought to go to jury duty. If they put it off and they don't go, then they won't really know the principles involved. And even though the what you call nisi prius and what I would call legal criminals, even though at the top, which actually is the bottom, they take over and they filter and they abuse and they counterfeit trial by jury, the actual fact that 12 people get together and they are there in a room deliberating on whether there's guilt or innocence, that is something you need to experience in order to get the idea of what you guys are doing right now. So if they get the notice, don't put it off. You know.
Well, I agree with you. If they can go get that experience, it'd be good, and they may have the opportunity to save someone if they get into the jury. And look at accept yourself as a common law grand jury. So, you know, you believe in the Constitution, jury nullification, and you know, go in there and do the job if you can do it. Absolutely, I agree. It'd be a good experience. No,
right,
they called me recently, and I didn't go because I don't have the time to go. I already told them I'm on a jury. Go away.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of people that are sitting on a fence that doesn't exist,
right.
And
right.
what they ought to do is at least do that, and then they'll get an idea what the counterfeit version is and how much power is in the counterfeit version, and then they might get a realization of what the true version might be if we, the people, regain control of our ability to decide facts and law as groups of people of 12 or 25.
Okay.
You know, Joe, you hit a nail on the head there with the 12 people in a room. Very, very powerful. And that's and in spite of everything they do, sometimes they still don't do what they want to do. And that's why you'll see this push to move the juries down to 6 people, because when they have only 6 people, they can control them all the more better. So you made a really very valid point. And if you get a chance to ever have a say on whether or not they go to 6 people, they should absolutely never be able to do that. It's a horrible thing. You need 12 people, and there was a reason that they picked 12 people, and it has to do with demographics and mathematics. And it really, really fits into justice in many ways. I don't want to get into it, but you know, what you state is an actual truth. Thank you.
All right, we're going to have to move on, but I'd like to make 2 statements before we do that. I meant to make this earlier, but we were so involved in other things. Number one, we've achieved enough money now to go out and get the grand jury jurist books. It was on my agenda to get done today. I never got to it. And again, you know, it's a situation that took control of the day. And I haven't even finished that, so... But I'm going to try not to get deterred tomorrow. I will get the order out tomorrow, get that moving. The other thing is that we're very close to the test being ready, and we have some people that gave us some money. We're going to do another matchup thing. We're going to throw something up there. I think we had it up for $8,000 last time. We had a little less than that, although we had some other people give money. So we got more, but you know, we're going to put something up there and see if we can match that as time goes on. But we do have enough money now to get the testing up online now and done. It's just a matter of getting it finished. There's a few courses that haven't been completed yet. I mean, I think everything has been done. It's just being put into sentence form and just being finished, written up. I'm going to be talking with technical, I'm going to try to get hold of our technician tomorrow and give him an idea. It's still pretty much the same. It's going to be approximately 600 questions, and so it's going to take, I think it's 120 hours of audio and or video, mostly audio, and some of this stuff. A lot of this stuff is in writing also, so, you know, people will be able to read it and listen. But... So it's 120 hours of audio or video combined and 600 questions, and we're going to try to get that up as soon as possible. And so we're ready to rock and roll on those 2 things. Those are major points. A major campaign for us, which is an educational campaign, is these booklets, the Juris books. So they will be going out soon. I'm going to make the order, and as soon as I get them, believe me, they're going to hit the mail real quick, and then when people order it, we'll have some, because we're ordering 50,000 of them. So we'll have plenty to send out as people send in. We'll have them to send out right away. Okay, let me go to the next caller. Joe, if you want to ask more, you can come back into the queue, but we got a lot of callers here, and it's 11 o'clock. Okay, 201, is that you, Jason? Keep it short because we've got a lot of people here and you've been in already, but go right ahead.
John, I just want you to know that this is Jason, New Jersey, that if anyone needs me, I'd be able to help them get their state together. My phone number is 201-240-5351. I'm willing to help anyone, and I wanted to do that.
Give a call to Sheila, because you'll be a good person for the team. She's got a team doing that work in the country, and she can always use more help. Anybody who wants to become part of that team, call Sheila, get on that team, and let's work together and get this job done.
Is Sheila?
She's in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Right. Look her up on Massachusetts as a state coordinator. And she's also a county organizer, and you'll find her there.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Don.
Okay, and there's quite a few people working with her, and you'll be another added to the thing, and I think you'll be real helpful to her.
All right. God bless. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Bye-bye. Okay, next caller, 630. 630. Yep. Hello, 630.
Sorry,
289. There you go. Gotcha.
Okay, I have. I'm pretty blunt and to the point, but I do have five questions, so I'm going to go quickly.
Okay.
Okay. Prior to the call's official start, I was on the phone with you. You stated the importance of doing a bottom-up approach for constituting the states via the counties, as opposed to constituting at the national level and working downwards in what comes across as a dictator-type approach, like the current corrupt system works.
Right.
It is my understanding many of the states are holding a statewide election where all counties are constituted without jurists within all of those counties present.
Well, you're not going to get, then you don't understand how we're structured. What we're doing is we're constituting the desire of having the common law grand jury reinstated within the counties or within the states. It's actually a state thing, but because there are courts in every county, it becomes a county requirement. So what we're doing is we are putting in the newspapers of every county. We're not doing this in the dark. We're not inviting people. People having the opportunity. If they did 20 counties, okay, and so each county that has newspapers, and we have to put in a press release in every single one of those newspapers.
I understand that.
Let me finish because you misunderstand, and then you can ask from there. So we're putting in the newspapers so that the people are invited. We have government not by majority, but by the majority that participate. People come, they come. They don't, they don't. And then we try to stimulate whatever people we have in the game to come, people within the counties to come, to make the vote, and we make the vote to reinstate the common law grand jury, ultimately throughout the whole state at some point, but it's being done county by county. And now what we're doing is building up administrators. We're not building juries. Juries are called. They're not constructed. So we will have four administrators in each county. So that should start to draw more people, especially the people on the fence and people that are in the background. They'll start to draw them out, and people will take those jobs on to become administrators. We need four for every county. And administrators are the investigative body for the grand jury. When the judge calls for a grand jury or a prosecutor calls for a grand jury, usually it's a prosecutor. If the prosecutor calls for a grand jury, then what happens is they're calling to the administrators. The administrators are the people. We do not work for the state. Although we're sponsored by money for paychecks and everything, we get a check that we have to give accountability to the funds that we get. And we, the people, go out and we call for a jury without any psychological filtering systems or anything. You know, there's only a few criteria requirements that they cannot be part of, okay? They themselves can't be on indictment at the time, obviously. I don't think we'd even have to mention that, but they can't be.
I'm not sure why you're answering all of that. That's not what my question is.
Well, I'm taking an opportunity to give a full thing on this.
But
on
I understand
what
that full part. That's not.
But you didn't, because you thought we had to get 25 in each. We don't.
I didn't say anything about 25 in each.
Well, you were talking about jurists in each county. We're not getting any jurists in each county. We're getting administrators in the county that when the judge calls for a trial jury, it's the administrators that bring the jury together. They give the orientation, they prepare them, and they watch and make sure they're not abused.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that the election is held to obtain administrators?
The process for the people to take control as administrators to administer to the people the juries necessary for any trial and grand juries. This way, when someone has a problem, they're not calling a prosecutor.
So if you have no representation from a given county, and you're going ahead and you're constituting that county with people from other counties.
Right.
Okay. And you've put an ad in the paper, and it covers, say, an entire state. So I'm in Illinois. So say we cover ads that get populated to all counties in Illinois.
Right.
Through you know, an ad that covers all counties as well.
Well, okay. You've got to, every, there's, newspapers in every county, you got to get to those newspapers.
I understand. And I'm saying
Go ahead. Get to your point then.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, how is it different to get list all counties and make sure that every county, you know, gets that notice, and then you do paperwork with, instead of listing every county separately, it lists all counties in the paperwork. And then you do that at the national level where you have three documents or, you know, of each, the affidavits and the declarations that cover the entire state with all counties included, including the press releases.
Right.
Okay. And you do that for every state at the national level, it would save a lot of time, since that's what most of these states are scrambling to do anyway.
No, we got to be grassroots as much. Let me tell you something. I would much prefer doing one county at a time. We did that in New York for a good part of the counties, over a third of the counties. We did one county at a time. Okay? It started to take too long. It took a lot. I went to all of the elections, okay, with the exception of the very tail end. I was ill. I had the pneumonia and I couldn't go. But other than that, I went to all the elections. And we realized we had to get this job done. We had to move into the courts. They're about to take down the nation. So then we decided, well, okay, let's start to do this collectively. And we did numerous counties at a time. We moved through the states, and in a couple of weeks, we finished off what we had. We went to two. And what we did is we had at least two meetings in a general area on a Saturday, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And we did that for numerous weeks, 3 weeks or whatever it took to do the rest of the state. And that's how we accomplished it. Now, you know, we got to get going. We do need people in the state to do it, but the people of the state have got to do their own state. We can't. New York can't do.
Well, I'm not asking New York to do it. I'm saying states will do
it. So the state has to do
it
themselves.
If the approach is taught to everybody that we're doing it in this way, I think it would help people go a lot faster.
Oh, we are. That's why I'm connecting people to Sheila, because she's teaching.
But then
all
again,
state.
The question is: Do we still need separate sets of document, which leads to my next question.
Every county has to have their own document. Every county has to have the sworn statement.
I understand
that
but do those documents have to be specific to the one county, or
yes,
can they include all of the counties?
No, we want to do each and every individual county.
Okay.
The paperwork sits there
and
waits for someone to take it in that county. If there's no one in that county to take it, we'll hold. We have counties that are done where people came out, they voted, but they didn't want to take the paperwork. Okay, so we don't have a real leader in a county. We're still looking for leaders in counties, and we'll be doing that for a while. I think that's going to move very quickly once the floodgates open, which I think is coming soon. I think particularly in New York, those positions are going to be filled quickly because it's going to be a good job to begin with. And people who are afraid will finally get the guts to do something, and it'll just fill in the places. But, yeah, we have to get the areas, have the paperwork prepared,
okay,
and
so
when the people come
question.
In, we give it to them, and then they take care of it.
You lead to the next question. So
yeah.
Each county has three affidavits and three declarations. Okay,
correct.
I may be wrong, but my understanding is we want three identical sets of documents. In other words...
No. I corrected that, and we did do a note on the page. It may not have been corrected inside the video because I don't have time, but if you read the page, there is a correction on that. You only need one original, okay? And that original... you shouldn't put a seal on it, but it's okay if you did. You know, you could still make them. But the point is you want to keep an original. And that original, you make the copies off. You can actually take the original and make a PDF copy of it in your computer so it's in there, okay? And then once you have that original, then you can put the seal on the original. But once you have another copy of an original that you can run off anytime, put a seal on it, okay, to make it an original. Now,
but
the signatures aren't original.
So
the signatures aren't
original. What do you mean by that? If you have typically, and this is just from my small experience of going to the courts with documents, I had three copies. I had all three notarized. It went to the court. The court stamped all three documents. One went to me, one went to the courts, and one went wherever to the other person. Okay, but they were the same. So in terms of the affidavit, it would be the same person who signs all three affidavits, the same three people.
No. You, we teach people that you want to get at least three people for each county to sign. They don't have to be from that county, but they have to be from the state. The people who sign the affidavits could be from anywhere in the United States. It doesn't matter. They're just witnesses that they were there and they saw it. That's all that is. The declaration, you want to get three people, if possible, from the county, but if not, from the state, okay, being witness. They have to be a witness that this took place, and here's the declaration. So if they're not there, whoever is there from another county can do that. It's just three people signing it. That's not notarized. When you take all these papers, before you put the seal on it, you run it in through your computer and you make a PDF copy. Now you have an original PDF, you have an original copy in your computer. Now when you need a copy, you run a copy, a complete copy off, you put a seal on it, and then you can put certified copy and date it and put an initial next to it. Now you have a certified copy. Okay, but you have one original you'll keep in your that you can put the seal on. You can keep in your file cabinet or something. But you can make as many certified copies as necessary.
Okay, then I'm going to need to speak with someone.
What certifies it is the seal. That's the key thing.
You're talking about notaries. Both of these documents have a place for a notary.
It doesn't matter. My point is you're under seal. Go on. Find out the power of being under seal, especially from the King's Bench. What you're saying is I'm honorable. This is absolute truth. I don't need any other witnesses because I'm the King, and I'm putting this in, and I'm honorable, and it's under seal. So being under seal means everything in that is true, and then you write in the word certified copy, so you're letting people know it's copy, but it's certified because you did as a real. You know, you go to court. You have to have either an original or a certified copy of a paper in order to use it as evidence. A certified copy,
right.
And everything has to be certified ultimately. But a certified copy is as good as an original, okay, if it's properly done, especially a court paper. Well, as the grand jury, this is a court paper. You got the highest court in the land. If they don't have integrity, then the nation is worthless.
I'll call the New Jersey guy. Because I
right.
need more clarification. I want to go to the next question because you have a lot of
okay.
people, and I have three more questions.
Right.
Okay, so next question. The declaration states the date, and this is, I guess, along the lines, I guess I can go to the New Jersey guy. But just so you know, the declaration states the date for filing into the court records, which is something we don't know at this time.
Right, that you can leave blank until
okay,
the time.
Okay, but you can't leave it blank if the notary is going to sign it. So
there's no
like
notary on
change.
That. There's no notary on that.
There's no notary on that?
No, just the three three affidavits that took place, that gets notarized. The signatures of the three people on the declaration is not notarized. It's powered under the three signatures and a seal.
Okay, so
the seal is
the
key to that whole thing. It beats out, it trumps a notary. The grand jury seal trumps the notary. It trumps the judge. It trumps the United States Supreme Court.
Okay.
It's the people.
Okay, next question.
And that's why we better be honorable, because we can't have, if we're not honorable, if we're not virtuous, then we can't have justice. It's not going to be a gift. God will not gift us justice if we're not honorable. That's why we have to walk very, very carefully in the place we're walking and constantly remind each other we have to have a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy.
Okay.
We've got to constantly do that, remind
and
each other.
That leads into my next question, which is it's a good segue, okay? And this you touched on this topic already twice on this call. There was a man on a call previously who mentioned a jurist declaration of sovereignty that was essential to the safety and security, and it's caused an uproar. This information has been dismissed, but you did not explain why his suggestion for such a declaration should not be or cannot be accommodated when it isn't easily included into our process. I mean, I can...
It already is included. That's the point. It's been included by 12 ways to Sunday. I mean, he wants a specific wording, which we're interested in trying to... Look, I spoke with the guy personally. And if he's on a call, he should pick up the line now. And let's just settle it. Because I spoke to him personally on the phone. At first, you know, I told him, look, we already got that, you know, but he was very, you know, dogmatic about his position, so on and so forth. And as the call went on, I said, you know what? I said, maybe we'll try to accommodate you. Your thoughts will be a little redundant. I don't want to be too redundant too often because that's not how court cases go. But, you know, we got to be careful on how we say it, and we want to say, and I think we have a nice way to say it. Now, he wants us to tie us down to one way. You know, this whole paperwork.
I don't think it was his verbiage that's got everyone in an uproar.
I think it's
the rationale that he makes, which is good, that every person who's claiming to be a part of this or signing on this, at least minimally, is at risk if they don't do their own personal declaration.
But now you're revealing names of people to begin with. We're under seal. Okay, you cannot reveal the people's names.
Wait a minute. Many of us have our own personal declarations on file in the county, but we're not telling the court that.
Right.
If they want to see that, you know, that's push come to shove. But the thing is we've made the proclamation in our paperwork, and that should be well enough for them.
Okay, well, you may have, but I can guarantee you most of the people that we're sharing this with are new to this.
You're missing the point. They're not in the courts with those papers until they send their seals. When they send the seals, the state is now on board. Guess what that seal says? It says, we the people of whatever state. Now, when we go to the Declaration, let's go to the Constitution. We the people, okay, did ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. It didn't say we the sovereign people. We the people. We know that that's the sovereign people. We refer to that as being the sovereign people, and we refer to ourselves as we the people, and then we put footnotes laying out that we're sovereign, and we also put footnotes showing that we're talking about we the people of the Constitution in the preamble. So we make it crystal clear that we are the people. Then we put a seal on it. This is the king's seal. How much more sovereign can you get?
And if they say we have no standing, guess what? That's the battle line, isn't it? They're going to have to show us why we don't have standing. And if they say you don't have standing because you don't have some piece of paper filed at the clerk's office or because you have a voter registration card or something like that, if they say that, let them say that in public. Listen, it's fraud. It's fraud.
I understand that. There's a lot of things in fraud that we're all individually even dealing with.
You know what? We don't have to kowtow to the fraud. You read our paperwork. It's fundamental.
Okay, so my question is, say somebody signs the paperwork. They're the affiant, or they sign as the, you know, witnesses. Now the courts have those names on record that, you know, you're saying you're protecting, but those names are on record, and they go through their files and they say, they voluntarily, gave away their rights into the system.
No, they didn't give their rights away. You can't give your rights away. They're inalienable.
Gave their rights away? When you get a driver's license and it says, are you an American citizen, do you really believe that you're voluntarily giving your rights away?
I believe that's fraud. Voluntarily signed a contract that can get you into trouble. And what I'm saying is,
if you're signing a contract and everything isn't spelled out, then it's fraud. If that contract doesn't say, by signing this, you're losing your sovereign rights.
No, I don't either. I have a simple
on
question.
Hold
the question
on
is the people who sign it, fraud or not, I'm concerned about their security. If, say, my 87-year-old father comes on board and signs this stuff, I don't want to find out that, because of some glitch in the corrupt system, he's put in jail.
It's never going to happen.
Gerard, I don't want to go here too much longer because this is really getting too much into things that just is – it doesn't even make any sense to argue too much of it. But what she's talking about is the name of the people signing the affidavits. The people signing the affidavits aren't claiming to be grand jurists. They're not claiming to be jurists. They're not claiming anything. All they're doing is saying, hey, I was at this place, and they took a vote, and this is what happened. And I saw it, and I'm a witness that happened. That's all they're doing. They're not saying that they're the jury foreman. They're not saying they're
grand jurists. That answers the question.
That's why I wanted to end it. We don't need to go to the other part of the argument.
Okay.
You know?
On
the other paper that people signed on the declaration, you know, everybody can do a sloppy signature. Not everybody has one, but I have a speed one, and you can't read it. You haven't got a clue on who signed it, but it's my signature, okay? And so that's best to do if you can, but no name is printed on that paper. And I'm sure there's a lot of John Smiths and this and that and the other thing, so they don't know who, where, when, how, or what, or anybody. And again, that doesn't mean that they're even administrators, nor does it mean that they're grand jurors, because in most cases, they're not. Definitely, you see, we the people that are doing this we will be grand jurors only for the time being of going getting into the courts. Once we're in the courts, we can never be grand jurors again because we're the administrators and the investigative body for the grand jury. We can't be trial jurists because we're so involved in the investigation that we already are biased. We already believe they're guilty. Okay, that's why we're bringing it to the grand jury. So, you see, we will never be sitting as that again. The only time we'll sit as a grand jury is when we come up to something big, okay, which has to be dealt with on a state level or a national level. Then we would, the administrators would take that position for that time only to deal with this problem that is serious, problem to the nation or to the state, okay? So we want to be very careful with that and that people understand that.
Okay, I have one last question. There are, and it's not, I don't want to get into a long discussion about it, and it's not for this call. I just want to touch on the topic, okay? There are efforts underway by those considered, and I'm just going to call them white knights for lack of another category or name. And it's not for this call, but understanding how these undertakings fit together with National Liberty Alliance is important. And so I'm wondering, for one, from what I listened to you talk on the call about all this rushing because of the fear of certain dates coming up or things happening,
it seems apparent
to me that you're not aware of this undertaking going on.
Well, it's a different approach. It's coming in from a different way, and there are lots of different undertakings going on, and I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but I'm aware of a lot of them. I get calls from people you'd be extremely surprised. I'm surprised that they would call me, and I get conversations with all kinds of people, leaders of groups, and I've been asked to join this and to join that and try to join forces with this, and I tell them, look, I'm a nobody. I don't speak for all the people involved with National Liberty Alliance. We're just a facilitator of knowledge and a place for people to organize, and that's all we are. We're nothing more. Nothing more. I can't join a group on behalf. I can't merge National Liberty Alliance with another group. After all, we have to stay pure. No, but I'm just telling you, I get these kind of calls all the time.
Okay.
And I'm very careful to keep us pure, and I do get calls sometimes from people, and that kind of message comes through, and I'll say something like a general or somebody with this group or that group. They say, we're watching you. We like what you're doing. And that's all. And they know enough not to talk too much to me about it, and I don't talk to them about it at all because I can't get lost in that. And they understand that. So if that's what you're talking about, I'm aware.
Well, I'm not sure what groups or anything. I just know that there are efforts underway that the fear topics that you talk about aren't quite reality either. But what you're doing is good, and I just want to make sure you're aware.
Okay. I appreciate that.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Next caller. 313, Niles. Sounds like feedback. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ray in Florida again. I got to share something with you that, you know, early on in the conversations during this call, you mentioned about the fear and how fear can overcome people. And I personally believe that everything that's taking place here is a spiritual battle. I feel like I know that the Bible tells us that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And that in itself should be enough for some people to realize that if it didn't come from him, we really don't want it. And therefore, it's coming from the enemy. And it goes on to say, but he gives us the, not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is what God gives us. So anything outside of that, we know is not coming from God. And the only fear, according to the scriptures that I read, is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is a reverent fear. And it says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy of is understanding. And another verse, Proverbs 1:7, says the fear of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Right.
Fear is brought on by lack of knowledge. And the only way to overcome that fear is to learn. And the enemy knows that. And that's why he keeps on trying to embed fear into our minds to keep us from learning. So that's just something.
Yeah, the Bible tells us to be strong and fear not. Absolutely, I agree. And it mentions that on a couple occasions, by the way. And, no, I couldn't agree with you more. I look at here's two things. Number one, if people leave because of fear, then, you know, look, God's in control of this whole thing. I truly believe it's not, it certainly isn't me. If you think it is, I'm going to tell you it's not. He's the one that controls this thing. Something, look at what just happened with this federal thing. It just opened my eyes to just today or the day before I started thinking about it. I didn't set this up. I didn't plan this. And I said, wow, we got a really great situation here. What a great position. So that's up to God to set that up. It's up to God to get the leaders and get them moving. And it's up to God to do the real work. I mean, we just have to be truthful and repent and pray that God's going to be merciful to us sinners. That's our job. Okay, and hopefully give us the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to do whatever we got to do from the earthly perspective. So I agree with you 100%. And so he cleanses, and people aren't in, and some people are in, and he's going to work it out at the end anyway. And the other thing is when people say bad things, and I don't get too worried about it. At first, sometimes I may get a little excited and say, hey, forget about it. Just relax. God's in charge. I don't have to worry about that. Because all things work together for good for those who believe. The Bible tells us that. And so, again, just resting back on the Creator. Let him deal with the problems. He knows what he's doing. And he'll set the stage. You know, I told this story about Elisha. I told it a couple of times concerning the fact how the people are blinded. And God just blinded these people, and they walked right into traps. Yeah. You know, I was just reading, I don't know that I shared this, I was reading the Bible just recently, I think it was in Chronicles, and where God takes out a whole 1,100,000 man army. And he says, don't worry about it, we'll take it. And from reading the Bible, it's as if they didn't even lift a sword, God just took them out. Mm-hmm. 1,100,000 men. Army, okay? It was 1,000, 1,100. So that's 1,100,000. So I'm not sure how to understand that, but it seems to me that it might be that what God just said is, I'll take them out, and he did. And they didn't even raise a sword to do it. And he talks about raising up valiant men. And valiant, to be a valiant individual, identifies with someone who is under the hearing of God. It represents someone who is virtuous. So he's in total control. And either we're going to succeed or we're not going to succeed according to his will, not ours.
Yeah, with our finite thinking, we can't conceive of how God can turn this nation around. We underestimate him. We totally underestimate him.
Yeah.
And it says in Hosea 4, chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Amen.
And it all comes back to knowledge. We have to learn. We have to learn. And by learning, we overcome the fear, because just as you have obviously done, you have confidence that this can work and will work if in fact, God is in it. And if God is willing.
If he be for us, who could be against us?
That's right.
He promises if we're in his will, he's going to take care of us. It may not be the way we figured it out, but in the end, it'll all work out just right. So that's why I don't worry, because I believe that.
His handiwork right now as this movement continues to climb and grow and unite. And you look at 21 states alone represented tonight, and I know that there's a lot more than that out there. That's encouraging to me. You know, I mean, that's powerful.
Absolutely. 2, 3, 24. We had 24 states represented tonight.
24.
That confirmed, yes, 24.
Right.
We had a couple that didn't come online. They did it through text chat here because they had problems on the phone, but they're listening in and there, and they gave me info through Skype, and that was Maine and Massachusetts came in. And then Jersey came in the end, and Virginia. So, and Ohio came into the text chat. So, yeah, we've got 24, and there are others that I know are here that may not have been at tonight's meeting, and they'll listen in hopefully on the the tape, and also Sheila and others in that group will also notify people and get them on board, and everybody should get everybody that isn't here tonight to come listen to tonight's program to really focus in on where we're at, what we're doing, and to become part of it.
Yeah, it's just exciting to hear these coordinators talking about what they're getting done and what they plan on doing. I mean, to hear that in itself is encouraging.
Absolutely.
That's all I have to say, and I appreciate it. And God bless you, both you and and Gerard, and appreciate your all you're doing.
Okay, thanks for the call. Okay, next caller, if I can find my cursor to move to the button. There it is. 313, go right ahead.
Oh, hi, could you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, my name is Debbie, and I'm from Michigan, and I'm in Wayne County, and I was just trying to find out what I need to put on the postcard again, because I'm willing to do.
Yeah, if you go up to our Juris tab, just highlight the Juris tab, don't click it, and the drop-down box will come, click on Juris Documents, okay? When you click on Juris Documents, come down, it's in alphabetical order, come down the list to postcard example, click on that, and it'll open up, click OK to open up it in Adobe, and there are the two postcards. It says here the following are two examples of postcards every NLA member and anyone else willing to write and send to the judge ASAP. You can buy a pre-stamped postcard at the post office for 38 cents. And you can write whatever you want, or you can copy what we've typed. We suggest you not give your last name. Use your first and middle name to make up an alias last name. Don't give your address, just your city and state. What makes this real is the fact that it's going to be coming from all these different postal marks, post offices. That's what's going to make it real. Now, we are going to change the name to Judge Sharp. Since he is the chief judge, he's the guy. So please, if you download this tonight, come back tomorrow, and I'm going to try to do this tonight when we get off tonight, but come back tomorrow morning and, look for the new address for Judge Sharp. I believe it's S-H-A-R-P.
Okay.
But we'll find out and we'll get that there. Again.
Could I have the website? Because I hadn't seen somebody invited me.
Oh, NationalLibertyAlliance.org. That's NationalLibertyAlliance.org. And in order for you to see the Juris tab, you have to become a member, so you have to join. And so you'll see the tabs on top, welcome, political news, all the way to states. But you will not see the Juris. The last tab is Juris. Once you join and log in, you'll see the Juris tab.
Okay. And the seal that you're talking about, the Unified Seal, and it was
right.
Another
the Unified, step. Before you get involved with the Unified Seal, what state did you say you went?
Michigan.
Okay. There are people, we've got a couple of people in Michigan. Get a hold of them. If you go to contacts on the top blue bar and you click on state coordinator, you'll find coordinators in Michigan. Give them a yell. You've got their phone numbers there. Get connected. They'll be dealing with they already got going the seal, the unified seal. But every county has to have a seal. And if you're going to be working as an organizer in your county and nobody's ordered the seal yet, you might want to order the seal or get together with other organizers to order the seal for your county. And we have
that
also. Huh?
Where do you order? Where do you go and order this seal?
Well, if you go to Jurist, okay, highlight Jurist once you're in there, and click on how to start a jury. And in that paper there, you read the paper, there are two downloads right above the video. One is the documents that you'll see in the video right below it, and the other one is the grand jury seal, which gives you details on how to create the seal, where to order it. You go right to Staples, gives you all the information. The 36-minute video there tells you exactly how to create a grand jury, get the grand jury process moving in your county. And so everything was on this page. You read the page very carefully, watch the video, download the files, and then work with others to do what you got to do. And again, get guidance from the state coordinators and other county organizers. Work together with people. Don't be alone on issues. Work together.
Definitely. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next caller, 620 Wireless, go right ahead.
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, this is Johnny B. back again.
How you doing?
I know from experience that there's not much honor in our publishing companies. So are we going to find errors in this handbook when we get it published?
Are we?
Well, if we do, we'll fix it. The people we're intending on using, I thought we were going to get someone new local, but I haven't heard back, so I'm going to go tomorrow to make the order. The people we're using are the same people that are printing for the constitutional books for the, what is that, the NCC, I think it is. So same people, you know, the Constitution booklets, we're getting that. And, yeah, we'll go through them, you know. I can't believe that they would print anything other than we gave them. And, you know, we have to give them the latest now because we've had other corrections since we talked with these people. And one thing I didn't have in there is for the people to be led to the site for a free course. Of course, and also if they want to buy these booklets, you know, we need to lead them to the site. So those are two things I'm going to add in the back of the booklet. And I'll do that tomorrow before I send out the final copy to them.
Right. Well, I've been buying the group for some funds to put in an order. So that should be arriving shortly. Are we still going through the Tradewinds?
Yeah, everything's going to Tradewinds. I have to do it under corporation because if I do it under my name, then I'll have more problems with the IRS. So, and you know, we are somewhat of a target. So, you know, I don't want to talk too much about that. So, in any event, we're doing what we got to do. And yeah, by the time we get it, like I said, I'm putting the order out tomorrow. I definitely will get the order out tomorrow. We'll get these people a certified check, whatever they want, so they'll go to print. And I would think they'll have this done and be shipping in a week, I hope anyway. And as soon as I get it, and I get it here, you know, I've been looking for different ways to deal with this, and I realize, you know, well, I could put my kids to work a little bit, so they're going to be packaging and sending out, and I'll teach them what to do there, and we'll get this stuff out right away. So as soon as we get an order, we'll ship right here right away.
Oh. Praise
my daughter's been helping me with the paperwork, so, you know, and keeping track of this stuff. And so she's learning, and my son will be helping too.
Well, good deal. I'm glad you got a team helping you, man. Mm-hmm. That's all I needed. Enjoy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Johnny. Okay, 716. Next caller, 716. Wireless caller.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
John, it's George out in Stark County.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Pretty good. I got like three things here. First one was, I was wondering, would you think it may be beneficial to us that before we send our postcards out, that we send a copy of that postcard via fax machine?
No, let me think about this.
When you send the card, I mean, it kind of make a thorn in their side from us, but...
We can think about that, and I can get some information on that. We can follow up with the fax. What's key is this. The two things. You see, if you do a fax machine, you're going to have a phone number, unless you go to Staples and do it. But, you know, hard copy postcard with a stamp from a post office is undeniable, and they know exactly that this came from that town and this town and that town and that town and this state and this county. I mean, just it's all over the place. And that's the most powerful. So I would say let's spend our time and energy on that and get more and more people doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
And if someone wants to go out and buy six postcards and write them up and get six people to pass them out to six people to do it or whatever the case may be, there you go. Just get them going.
And maybe do it regularly, like once a week or once every 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, however you want to do it. But, you know, again, you could buy the bunch of postcards and you could send, you know, get your children to get their names on it. And, you know, first and middle, not last name. Get your parents, get your cousins, your uncles, your aunts, your whatever, everybody, neighbors.
I'd say we just keep badgering them with that. That's
absolutely.
You know, on a weekly, they got to pay attention to us after a bit. Okay,
absolutely.
Kind of enough on that.
You see,
I know,
between, between that and all these seals on top of the paperwork, I'm telling you, they're going to get shaken by this.
Yeah, they're going to be, their boat's going to get overloaded.
That's right.
Okay, the second thing I wanted to bring up, I think it was Joel in California was talking about if you get called up for jury duty to experience it, if you possibly can.
Right.
I know I did one time. I answered the call, and I went there, and both the defense and the prosecutor, of course, they interview you about what your thoughts would be, and their question to me was, do you believe that you could find this gentleman guilty of this charge? And I thought the honest answer would be yes, if the prosecution proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the man is guilty of the crime. I said, I think I could find him guilty of the charge. And they said, you're out of here. We don't want you. I thought, well, how much of a more honest answer could you give them?
Right. They, look, there's a game playing on every one of these things, yeah. And they're controlling the outcome, and however they're controlling the outcome, they didn't want you to...
Yeah, I mentioned that just for the benefit, like Joe says, experience it and then judge for yourself what you went through.
Okay? Yeah, I've got a jury questionnaire sheet, and I don't know whether I ever put it up on the site or not. I should take a look. When I get a chance, I'm going to take a look. And if I don't have it up there, I'm going to get it up there. I couldn't answer most of those questions. I just wouldn't be able to. I would tell somebody, you know, I would never be taken on as a jurist because I just refuse to answer some of those questions. What business does that have to do with this case? I'm one of the people, and if the guy's guilty, I'm going to vote him guilty, and if he's innocent, I'm going to vote him innocent. And
I'm
going to give him the benefit
like you,
of the doubt.
You know, someone like you that's enlightened about the situation could make that decision. Like myself, at the time I went, I wasn't even vaguely enlightened about what this whole jury system is all about.
Right, think about this. We have 8 hours, okay, with every jurist that ever comes to sit on the grand jury or the trial jury. We have 8 hours of orientation, and we're going to give them an education in those 8 hours. And we're going to give them the principles, a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy, and you'll be able to sleep tonight when you make the decisions in this way. And we're going to give them the couple of maxims, the main maxims, you know, for in order for there to be a crime, there's got to be an injured party. And for every injury, there must be a remedy. Okay, when we give them, and then we're going to give them the booklets, and we'll even go through the booklets. Maybe we'll read a little bit here and talk about it. What do you think? And you see here, you know, this is going to blow their minds. They're going to become new people. They're going to say, "I've never seen this before. Wow." They got to be impressed by it because, and especially from where it's coming from, we'll be sitting there with the power in the courts and the authority of being the investigative body and the administrators for the grand jury and the trial jury. Wow, I think this should be impressive, and we'll get a lot of people waking up through this process, and people will become more and more interested, and we'll offer them, and everyone will be offered the course. Hey, look, you know, why don't you go out and take the course and understand common law, you know?
I'd say they probably got a lot of gray matter that's never been used in that area, and it would be quite an enlightening situation to be, party to that type of an education, which is the one that's been failed us since about 1850.
Right.
And I know you got a lot of people, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, but the last thing I wanted to touch on was the seal. On the site, I see you've got a couple of places where you can get that seal, right. And your young lady there from... Columbia County there, Lil,
yep.
Put me on to this, and I don't see it on the site here yet, to this, that's called the Corporate Connection, and it's at 128 Margin Street, Salem, Mass, 01970. I ordered the seal from there. And shipping and everything, the total cost of the seal was $32.34.
2-inch seal?
Pardon?
A 2-inch seal? 2-inch.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good price. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, well, Lowe's up there put me onto that. So.
Yeah, I'll talk to Lowe. Well, as long as it's easy to maybe if Lil, if you're still here or if you're listening by recording later, maybe you could write something, be very specific, and we'll put it up there for people to have another place to go.
Yeah, I was happy to get it for that, you know, for that price when I looked at, you know, what they need to get for them from Staples and at $42, and then someone selling it about $45. But it had everything on the site. It was very easy to navigate the site. I made a mistake, and I spelled my county wrong. So I actually ordered another one, but. Hey, I'm willing to pay for my mistakes.
Right,
but
right.
I don't take any more time. I think you've got people that would like to get through. So, again, thanks, guys, for all you do, and good talking to you again. I hope this whole thing works out really good.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
So. All right, just want to make a quick, someone sent me a note here that they think it's a 1.85-inch diameter seal. Slightly smaller than 2-inch. And you know what it is it maybe the whole metal piece, because there's an outer ring that sort of doesn't become part of the impression. Maybe that's a 2-inch. But, yeah, 2-inch seal is what it's called, basically. So, okay. Next caller. We have just a couple more callers left. So 303, we got about 12 or 13 minutes left, so we can get them both in. Go ahead, 303. 717. Wireless caller. 303-717, a wireless caller. You've been unmuted. Wireless caller. Last call. Okay, we'll take our last caller. We've got about 13 minutes left. 939.
Hi, John.
How you
doing?
Yes, hi,
go right ahead. Yeah, this is Pam. Dealing with the Pennsylvania. Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Quick question. I talked to you a few weeks ago about this, and I was talking to some friends, and I'm just wondering where, Mike, one thing I was really happy to hear what you had said, that when a case goes to court, it'll be going only in front of the grand jury, who'll be making the final decision. They won't just be only doing an indictment and then it goes in front of a judge.
Right.
You know, into a court.
Right. In a criminal case, no one can be arrested for a crime and kept in prison without going to a trial without going to a grand jury. And they have to get to the grand jury quite quickly. And sometimes, you know, the judge might, he's got the authority to put to keep the person in jail if it really appears to be a dangerous situation. They can set up a bail. And, a lot of bails, a lot of these judges, they're unreasonable. They are totally unreasonable. And we got to stop this, you know. So, anyway, that's another problem we'll have to think about and talk about.
In my case, the corrupt judges are protecting the criminal.
They're the criminal.
Yeah. But my question is, will the final decision be made by these grand juries so that they won't be going in front of a judge then?
Oh, absolutely not. No, in common law, you are judged by your peers. The judge is just the traffic cop in the court. He's the magistrate. He keeps order in the court, keeps things moving along, but he has to perform the will of the people, which is the jury. He doesn't get to decide even what the penalty is. The jury gets to decide everything. They get to decide whether they're innocent or guilty. They get to decide what the penalty is. They're to be looking for restitution first and foremost. Of course, if it's a violent situation, the jail has to be considered, of course, and is probable. But nevertheless, restitution is part of the process too, you know. So all of that has to be figured out. That's the juror's job. Judge doesn't get any of that. And also, from a grand jury, once a grand jury indicts, no one can stop that. And when you get grand jury indictment, sometimes even after the grand jury indictment, a prosecutor will cut a deal. Oh, no. They can't cut a deal. Only the people can cut a deal. They can come back to the grand jury. If the people are indicted and they go into court, they could call back to the grand jury, and we can recollect the very same grand jury, and the grand jury can create a deal for them, which is appropriate for the injured party and the situation, you know. But the judge can't make a decision. Look at these people all the time. They make, move the court to dismiss for this or that. No, you can't do that. No, only it's got to go to trial. You know, for every injury, there must be a remedy.
Is there a special name for this grand jury? I mean, like a constitutional grand jury?
We call them the common law grand jury, yes.
Oh,
only this,
okay.
We shouldn't have to do that, but considering today's environment, they should just be the grand jury. But considering today's environment, we got to call it, and we might as well keep that name forever. Common law, so
right.
It's not. And if you look at the seal on the inner ring, in Latin, says natural law by the grace of God. So that's what it is.
Well, there's a type of a common law grand jury right now, but I know, like I was saying before, in Ledbetter County, the DA messed a case up about a year ago to finally get justice for a 14-year-old girl that was murdered.
I'm not aware of a true common law grand jury anywhere in the nation. Not to say that there isn't one. Maybe there is one that got through somehow, but...
They called that a grand jury. That's why.
Well, they call them grand juries everywhere. You're right. I've never heard anyone call them a common law grand jury. I heard them citizens grand jury or grand juries. We're the first ones, to my knowledge, calls it the common law grand jury. We wanted to be very specific, and we very particularly wanted to focus in on natural law, and we also found it very, very powerful because Scalia's language in the United States versus Williams referred to the grand jury of the common law Fifth Amendment. Therein is the common law grand jury. So that gave it some real good power.
I remember you saying that our forefathers wanted this type of grand jury. Where do we find this?
The first place you see it, of course, is in the Declaration of Independence. We have government by the consent of the people. This is the way the people consent to their government, by saying, yeah, we agree with, no, that's illegal, you can't do that. If you continue to do that, we're going to indict you, stop. You see, that's consent of the people. And this is the only place it can happen, so that becomes clear. There was a lot of discussion I haven't hit the discussion part of this yet, but there was a lot of discussion in the Federalist Papers on the grand jury. I heard that there were three particular letters in the Federalist Papers, and I'm sure there was some in the Anti-Federalist. Also, we have Trial by Jury, which was written by Lysander Spooner in 1852. That's what it was. 1852, he wrote an essay. That's going to be part of our course, by the way. It gives the history of the grand jury and how our founding fathers executed it here in this nation, and it became the cornerstone of justice. There is no justice without a jury, so juries are a requirement.
What was that man's name?
Lysander Spooner, and it's called Trial by Jury. You can find it up on our website under Essays and Lectures, so you can start listening to the tapes and read the paper, the essay. I think it's about 15 hours or so. It's a long essay. And that's going to become part of our course. We have a civics course, which if you clicked on, you'll see it's under construction at the moment.
So these type of grand juries were used?
Oh, they've been used going back. The juries came into being, a long time ago. We know that goes back... came into England at about 300 A.D. when the Anglo-Saxons came in with the idea of being judged by the mind of God, and they fused together. They came, a lot of the Germanic tribes, it was back in the Germanic tribes, so that even goes further back than that. The principles are set up in the Mosaic law, and it's been around for, the jury has been around for a long time.
This common law grand jury type.
Well, natural law, common law, yeah.
When did they stop? Why, you know?
Well, they hit it and phased it out and dumbed us down. They just kept removing more and more from us and more authority and teaching us stupid things in school, and they've taken over the whole process. If you want to know how they did that, go up to, let's see, go up to, where is this at?
Yeah, where exactly do I find this part that you're talking about, 15 hours?
Oh, under Essays and Lectures.
Oh.
Okay, you will find it there. But we do have, let's see, is it under News? Go to News, highlight News, and go then highlight Today's Issues, okay? And you'll see G. Edward Griffin, okay? If you click on G. Edward Griffin, you'll get his documentaries. He's got quite a few of them there. And you'll see how they did what they did in those documentaries there. We've got quite a few of them. And as a matter of fact, the G. Edward Griffin documentaries are part of our course. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the course should be available hopefully soon. I mean, you know, I'm going to start working with the tech tomorrow, and I'll be talking with Kathleen here from New York to see where we're at and, you know, how much longer she thinks it's going to be before we're totally completed. So there's been some setbacks. Huh?
About the Federal Reserve?
Who talks about the Federal Reserve?
Oh, no, Griffin. Is he the one who did a lecture on the Federal Reserve?
He's done some stuff on the Federal Reserve, absolutely. He's got a lot of stuff. Edward Griffin is the pioneer. He's done really a lot of the footwork and the foundational work for us to understand what's going on. I don't know that we would have the movement we have today and the knowledge and really what's going on without Edward Griffin. He started this in 1959, 1960, and he started doing documentaries because he saw the problems. And then later on, towards the end, he wishes he started a little earlier. He created an organization called, oh goodness, I forget the name of that organization, but in any event, which he says we need to go back, this organization really feeds the people to go back and take back our systems by, you know, because what they did is they took our institutions over. They infiltrated our institutions, they got the high powers in our institutions, and then turned them against us. So we need to go back and take our institutions back from within. So that's what Griffin is doing. But without his work, I don't know that we could have understood what's really going on. He is really the guy who set the stage for understanding this stuff, in my opinion. Very strong.
Yeah, he's the one who did the documentary on The Creature from Jekyll Island.
Exactly, same guy, yes. Same guy.
Oh, wow.
And he also did some health stuff. When you go to Today's Issues, okay, you click on health issues, he'd done some health issue stuff. A World Without Cancer, The Politics of Cancer. Very powerful, powerful videos. Anybody hasn't seen that, they really need to look. We have great health issue stuff, all the poisons and stuff, and we just got a lot of stuff there.
Wow. Is he still alive?
Yes. Yeah, he's about, I think, 76 or something, 78.
Yeah. So
I just saw him recently somewhere. So
I'm glad they never got to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, and he did a real powerful one that we put, I think it's up on our front page, if I recall. It's someplace, he did one where he gives a presentation. He talks about pirates taking over a ship and likens it to what happened, you know, into America. And he gives the scenario how the pirates come and they take over the ship and they dress up like the captain and the hands on deck and everything. And some people discover it, and then they go to the captain and they try to work a deal out with them. And, you know, you're not going to work out a deal. He's there to sabotage the ship. You know, he's a pirate. He's taking it over, you know. Don't go to the pirates and think you're going to get mercy from them. You're not going to get it. Don't try to reason with them, because you're not going to reason with them. They have an agenda. They have a plan. So we have to bring those pirates to justice. Only
exactly.
The people can do that.
Well, we're going to do it.
Only the people can do it.
That's it. Well, we have.
Okay, I got one other call, and it was just about midnight,
okay.
So I got to
move
on.
Thank you very much, John. And
thank you
for everything you're doing.
Right,
thank you. Good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Craig, go right ahead. You're the last caller. Craig, you're the last caller. Craig, you there? Yeah, we're not getting anything. It sounds like your microphone may not be plugged in. Craig? Nothing. Going once, Craig. Twice. Last call, Craig. Okay, yeah, I hear some crackling, but nothing coming through. So, okay, that brings us to the end. Sorry, Craig, maybe you can get your mic fixed and get you on next Monday. So we'll end it for now. Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday. Please, everybody, keep in touch with each other. Let's get the nation going. Let's get the states moving. We got a momentum. Let's do it. We got 30 days to get as many states as possible. We'd like to at least get past the halfway mark, because if we have to go to the United States Supreme Court, we'd like to have at least 26 states on board, more if possible. Let's get this postcard thing going. I'll repost the new address. I'm going to do that as soon as I get off tonight. That's the first order of business. I'm going to get that done. I'll try to get tonight's program posted tonight. And tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to take the vote on whether we're going to indict this judge or not. I feel confident we'll end up doing that, but I'm going to make my case. I already made my case, so we'll see if anybody else has anything different. Okay, with that, I'm going to get out of here. God bless everyone. Thanks. Good night.